Blog Talk Radio.
War Steel Record.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Walk from reloaded, steps into the palace. Better check your matters for fine divine savage. Not average, Dunny, I'm rich money. A king among men from sin that's pure ugly. Hug me, polite, Levine, I spit wine. And turning back the water, your order, order mine. Reality, relationship, you better get a grip. KL and Tiffany, the magnificent. God omnipotent, Sunday spiritual. I'm so polite when I enter if you're miserable. So visual, the mayor, the player. I put the rose from my garden to my heat there. New York Nixon, my queen is a vixen. 1257, now pure glisten. Love like loyal, my point is pure oil. My phone keeps ringing from dudes, I'm spoiled.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Love, entertainment, I name it and I claim it. Bring the guck on that, turn us out, untain it. A messenger of light, I'm sitting to the night. My poetry is pain, Eric Ben Ross right. Step into Dallas, I educate Alice. Old school to new school, playing pure ballad. Divinely inspired, virtue approved. This is the Diva Squad on the move. Rachel and DC, gotta take it easy. Start to feel good, real good when you need me. Rich money, I rhyme, survive all your lines. Most high too good, so I keep saying I. Wild parable, GQ, not comparable. Out of line, disconnect, won't even air the fool. Street apostle, far from a fossil. Make a major move, GQ, it's colossal.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that'll hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome. I am your host, Rich Money, and welcome to another episode of Love and Entertainment here on GQ Palace Radio. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time out to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last weekend, we had a spectacular show. We had the GQ General Question. We got feedback on that. We had author Al King in the building, and we were talking to him about his book, Let It Be Known, that's circulating the globe and hitting real hard. After Al King, we had legendary pioneer Positive K in the building, which you will also be hearing his exclusive tracks tonight being played. Listen to last week's archives. You can go to BlogTalkRadio.com and type in GQ Palace. That's GEEQUE Palace, and check out the archives. Tonight, we have another banger for y'all. We have the GQ General Question, which is, what would you do if your spouse left you to be with the same sex? Crazy, right? What would you do in a situation like that if your spouse left you to go be with the same sex in a relationship? Kind of serious right there. After the GQ General Question, we have up-and-coming artist Dayton. And we're going to be playing his smashing single, Forever Fly. He's doing big things, and we're going to find out what's his next step as an up-and-coming artist in the music industry. After Dayton, we have author Kimberly Silva. and we're going to talk to her about her novel, The Light Between the Tunnels. So stay right there and don't move. This is Rich Money, GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
For sure.
Wondering what she really is. She's standing now.
Dons and Divas, welcome back to the palace. And we're going to start off with the GQ general question. You know, what would you do if your spouse left you to be in a relationship with the same sex? We actually have a caller on the line. We're going to bring them on, and me and I'm going to discuss about this situation real fast. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. You heard the topic for this evening. What would you do if your spouse left you to be with the same sex?
Well, I'll tell you, my brother, it's an interesting question because if my spouse were to leave me for the same sex, I would think that that was a situation that was brewing for a long time, just like coffee. And basically, it's just that the aroma became too overpowering, and they actually had to drink up that coffee.
Mm. Wow. I mean, if you was in that situation, how would that make you feel to find out your spouse had left you to be with the same sex? Now, the same sex could be anything from like a lesbian. You know, you got lesbians, you got dykes. You understand the dyke? You know, is the one that acts like a dude but really not the dude. So how would you actually feel if you found out, you know, your spouse you've been with for a couple of years left you to be with the same sex? How would that make you feel? As you being a man, how would that make you feel?
Being real, man, I tell you what, man. First off, you're going to start questioning, you know, your manhood. You know, what was I doing? Was I doing something wrong? You know, you start kind of blaming yourself, and that's pretty much what I would start doing. I would start blaming myself. I'm like, man, what did I do? What are they doing that I'm not doing? You know, where did we go wrong? And I start going back, and I probably start blaming myself to see if there's something that I could have done better, you know? But the fact is, like I said, man, it's something that had to have been there for a long time, and it's just that it took one situation to bring out that freak or whatever in that person, you know? Not that the freak wasn't there and it wasn't brought out, but there's a certain kind of freak that is brought out by the same sex, I guess, when they get together, you know? And it's just, you know, it's just something that you, it's just you something of the opposite sex, you know? And they're not really able to, you know, it's just you know, it's just something that you, the opposite sex, may not be able to kind of like, you know, kind of explore, you know. But I tell you what, man, you know, we're just funny individuals, you know, we're just individuals, man. And, you know, people as a whole want to experiment regardless of whether it's the same sex, opposite sex, I mean, even if it's animal sex, people just want to explore, you know. Now, if I came in and seen my girlfriend or whatever, you know, on top of the dog or the dog on top of her, it's like, what the heck? You know what I'm saying? I mean, again, does he bark louder than me? Is it because he's on all fours and I'm standing straight up? I mean, you know, basically, that's the kind of question you're asking yourself. You know, but at the end of the day, it's them, they're the ones that's doing it, not you. You know? So they're the ones that...
I understand what you're saying because, you know, a friend of mine was with somebody that I know, and he was traumatized because she left him to be with another female. And he was, like, really traumatized.
And well, you know what? At the end of the day, it's, like I said, man, it's more than likely not you, the person that has been somewhat perpetrated against. And it's just that... Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's a male or female, they just needed to get their oats sown somewhere else. You know, and it's a desire that, this is the long time question. Are you born gay? Is the question that everybody's asking. You know, basically, is it from birth? Is it something that's learned? You know, is it something that you can get rid of? Is it like a disease? You know, so basically, it's like, If the theology is that you're born gay, then obviously your life was all a mirage, and you basically was doing things just to please everybody else, knowing that that's not what you like. And it's unfortunate that the person that's been perpetrated against happens to be the person that is being used for the satisfaction of that person's gain just because they want to please society. You know, knowing in their heart that they want to be with somebody else of the same sex.
So you think they physically playing emotions with the person knowing that they don't want to be with them?
Exactly. It's like a pastor or minister. You know, he has a congregation. Mm-hmm. He knows his desire is not with his wife. But in order to maintain that persona, he has to maintain a wife. You see, knowing that that's not his first preference.
Yeah.
You see, so basically, okay. he's just doing what he has to do to maintain, you know, some kind of this fake personification of a man and his position. But in his heart, that's not where he wants to be.
Okay, let's say you had a friend come up to you, and he's emotionally drained, and he's like, I don't know what to do. My wife left me to be with another female that thinks she's a man. You understand? What could you actually tell him to bring up his, you know, make him feel like, okay, well, she left you for another man she left you for the same sex because of what could you actually tell your friend that's going to make him feel reassured that this one, the woman he was with, let's say for 3 years, left him to be with the same sex. What could you actually tell him to be assuring him?
Well, here's the thing. Just based on the background that I have now, I would almost 100% lead him into scripture. And I would tell him, basically, I would show him different verses in scriptures as to why he shouldn't blame himself. Because at the end of the day, you know what? We all fall short. We all got like filthy rags. We all going to make mistakes. This is why we have to repent daily. We have to pray a lot because we're going to make mistakes. Whether the mistake is having the same sex with the same person, whether it's cheating on your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you know, whether it's just the thought of having some kind of crazy relationship, you know. And if a person came to me as a friend and he said, listen, man, my girlfriend just left me for another woman, you know, initially probably I'd tell him, hey, are you going to join in? You know, just to kind of, you know, break the ice. You know what I'm saying? But then at the same time, I know there's a serious relationship. I know there's a serious situation. And then I'm going to try and, you know, just try and ease the pain that he has, you know, and tell him, hey, man, it's not your fault. It really is not your fault because there's nothing that you can do to change the human desire.
Okay, I understand that. But see, you said you would ask him if he's joined in. But see, you got to realize same sex, like I said, could be a female, you know, excuse the French, a dyke, you understand, that think they a man. You understand? I'm pretty sure he wouldn't want to join in with that.
Listen,
you understand what I mean?
Listen, I have some at my job. Listen, I have some at my job, and I try not to judge them because, listen, whatever they do, that's on them. I mean, they come in dressed, you know, with the jeans and the T-shirt and the tattoos, and I mean, the whole nine. When you look at them, I mean, basically, you're looking at a man in a woman's body, you know? And they have their girlfriends that come in as well. And, you know, you better not really say anything to the girlfriend because they're going to think you're trying to get their girl from them. And, you know, basically, that's that dyke female-type relationship, you know? And listen, whatever rocks their boat, I mean, I can't go ahead and tell them it's right or wrong. But at the same time, if I have a friend that's in that situation, I got to reassure him that it's not his fault. You know, and again, you cannot get into a person's head, and their desire is really not something that you can control. The only thing you can control is yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yeah, that's the bottom line. Yeah.
Okay. My phone line is on fire. If you want to join in the topic right now, when you're on the line, press 1 to go on the air. If you're on your PC, it's the number to call. 646-200-3838 and press 1 to go on the air. The topic for this evening is, what would you do if your spouse left you to be with the same sex in a relationship? We have another call on the line. We're going to bring them on real fast. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, it's everyone.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
What's the topic for this evening?
Yes, I did.
And what's your point of view on it?
You know, honestly, if that was the case, I would feel bad. But, hey, no, that was something in the making. You just ain't up and, you know, went out like that unless you, you know, been fudge packing all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, but think about mm-hmm. it. What was that movie Tyler Perry did with Janet Jackson? Her husband was with somebody else, and she didn't know till last minute. I forgot the name of the movie.
Some of them keep it quiet. But I'm going to find out eventually. You know, you have to watch people's moves, you know, the way that they used to do and things that they used didn't do. You know, you're going to be, to me, in a man, you're going to be able to tell it quicker.
Hmm.
You know, and
you think
like
a man would be able to tell his woman is with somebody quicker than a female would?
No. I'm saying to get the thought of someone, you know, like my man. I feel like he would show it quicker than a female would. A man would show it quicker than a female that he has gay tendencies. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Check this out. You know what? I believe you're right, because check this out. If you have a man and he doesn't want to get a colonoscopy, that's one of the signs that he may be doing something back there that he don't want nobody to find out.
Nah, I kind of agree with that one. Hold on. You have another caller. Let me bring this caller in real fast. Hold on. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hey, guys.
Hey, kid.
Hey, what's going on? Did you hear the topic for this evening?
I just heard the pieces about a colonoscopy and
okay, wait. Okay, I'm going to give you the topic, but wait, let me ask you a question. I got to disagree with that. I think if a dude is fast to take a colonoscopy, because that means something's going up in there. I think
he would want that. He would want the colonoscopy.
Exactly. He wouldn't want it. Yeah, he wouldn't want that. If a dude is fast, that's like, you know, you got to go up there to check for cancer and everything with the doctor. If a dude be like, sure, go ahead, bend over and just let them know. It's something wrong with that. That's how I see it.
Exactly.
The topic here is, what would you do if your spouse, if you found out your spouse left you to be with the same sex in a relationship? Hello, Kia, are you there?
I'm not just saying. I'm only going to keep for me. I'm sorry. I'm only going to keep for me. That won't happen to me. I'm sorry. And I'm not being mean, but that will not happen to me, because I always have to check your significant other out. There's no way I would take a guy who has, or you would already know that if I can't marry. I'm sorry. There's no way.
No. See, this is the thing. You could be with this guy for 2 or 3 years.
Like I said, there's no way.
You can't say it won't happen. It's a lot of guys out here that's undercover.
Yeah.
The guy you with right now could be undercover. And you don't I'm just speaking in general. You understand? But and you don't know it. You understand? Let me tell you something. This female I knew a long time ago took me to this club. She was like, I'm gonna show you this club. And I ain't never noticed about, you know, guys fronting like they hardcore, and you know, she's like, this is a gay club, but it's all guys in here. She took me to the spot, and you would have seen these dudes, they out there in their Lexuses and they Escalades and all that. And I'm looking, and they homo thugs.
Don't give me an understanding
that.
I don't understand what you're saying.
It wouldn't happen to you. Because you could be with the thuggish person, you think he could knock a dude out. And like a dude look at you, and he'd be like, "What you looking at, such and such?" But then when you close that door to go home, he went right to homeboy.
Exactly.
You know,
it happens every day, really.
You know, I mean, it's good to have a positive attitude to say that.
Oh,
I'm not
you better believe I have a
positive.
No way. I'm just saying.
No, I don't mean it like that. You're taking it wrong, Kia. I don't mean it like that. I'm just saying again. I'm talking in general.
No.
Not
I know
saying
what you're
you
saying.
In person. I'm talking
I know
in general.
What you're saying. No, I know what you're saying. in general. But that's kind of when we, you know, you ask a lot of questions. You get to find out about that person. You don't wait like, well, I never knew, nothing, because you never asked questions. You never found out about that person. Because anybody you with, you want to find out about them. You want to know them. And like you said, 20 years later, then what's, okay, 20 years later, what was the cause then if you knew nothing, you know, beforehand, that you know, everything was cool, you spotted him out and everything, you kind of did your own betting on your mate. And all of a sudden, you come up 20 years later, so he got to be going into his 40s.
Not even
so
20.
When he was in his 20s, no. Then I'm trying to...
Okay, let me ask you something. It was a movie Tyler Perry did. I can't think... Color Girls, I think it was. I think it was Color Girls. With Janet Jackson and her husband was gay and she never knew it. And she found out,
never,
and that's what she caught AIDS.
She never knew she was gay.
Her husband, yes.
Oh, she was
gay.
She never knew she. Oh, okay. I was thinking about she never knew she
he
was.
Knew he was gay. No, he was doing what he do.
Okay, well, I mean.
And she was a successful woman. You understand?
No, no, no. Don't get me wrong. I believe. Do we become naive that we don't find out? Do we become naive? Because I'm not trying to be naive in my situation. I don't want to be naive. I want to be knowing. Like, I can't be naive. I want to be able to be knowing. You know. Don't get me wrong. I know, spot it, can tell, buff, you know, whatever, and probably think he is. But in my, do I want to be naive? Are we naive 20 years later?
I don't know if it's being naive, but I tell you what, like Rich said, man, people can conceal things for years and years and years, and you know, you can believe things on the surface,
so,
and everything is okay, but it's not until you cut into that cake that you get the ingredient, and you get to see that it's really...
How do you not call it naive? It's 20. You're in a relationship with your husband. You know everything about your husband. You've been married for 35 years, and all of a sudden, you find. I don't understand. What do you mean you don't know about?
Well, you know,
you clean his clothes. You know.
Let me tell you something. A friend of mine was with somebody I know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put their name out there. It was with somebody I know, and it was a female. Okay? My man, he came up to me, and he was distraught, like I was explaining today earlier before the show. He was distraught because he found out she left him to be with a female.
Wow.
And they've been together for about 6 years. 6 years they've been together. And she left him to be with a female. And both families knew each other and everything. So it's hard to determine if you have somebody, because you don't know, like they could grow up thinking that but never took the chance. You understand? Like Dave said,
they
first
go
grow up
curious.
Knowing, and then they get curious now. Okay, so let me try this. If I can get away with it, I'm gonna go with it. You understand? Curiosity is a mother. It kills the cat. Curiosity is a mother.
Don't get me wrong. And I believe it's more. I believe so more the women. Because I know somebody that did that too, Richard. I mean, I just knew up from somebody, a friend of a friend, and when I found out that she left her boyfriend to be with this girl that we know, and I'm like, she was gay too? And they're like, yeah, Kelly, you don't know, because I don't know them like that. But I know somebody, and you right, it can't.
Hey, you know what, Rich?
I was shocked
to find out that John Wayne was gay, man.
Who?
John Wayne? I was shocked to find out that John Wayne, the dude, was gay.
John Wayne? Who's John Wayne?
You know John Wayne, the actor. You know John Wayne, the actor from the Cowboy Show. Yeah, they call him the Duke. I was shocked to find out that John Wayne, this masculine, shoot him up, punch him up, you know, this was like the masculine man of all men, to find out he was gay.
That's what we said. I mean, all these years that he been acting and punching and doing all of that, you wouldn't have never thought it.
Exactly.
You know, so that's why I said some people, they can put on a good act and you'll never know it until they're ready to come out the closet with it.
I tell you, get that colonoscopy, they'd be all right.
You know, I'm like Rick, I disagree on that. There you go. A gay guy is going to enjoy that.
Oh, no.
I mean,
what
you
I'm
got
saying
some
is
guys
that...
Go ahead, James.
What I'm saying is if you've been penetrated back there for whatever period of time, or I don't know what the time frame is to see a difference, but if you've been penetrated back there enough times, when they go to do that colonoscopy, trust me, like a gynecologist, that doctor is going to know that that back there is not virgin material. It's not virgin soil back
the
there.
The doctor would know it, but
yes.
Nobody else would know it.
So, well, you better start talking to that doctor.
Well, no. I mean, that you can't do that. You know, if he requests nobody knows about any of his medical rights, he can have those rights. You can get sued for that.
That's the HIPAA law.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the
I mean, he
thing.
Can be his wife. If he chooses not to tell her, then the doctor can't tell her.
So he better give me a look or something. He better do something. You know, listen, the reason that he don't want to get that colonoscopy is not only because he's, although maybe he might, like you said, he might want to get it because he's going to enjoy it. Me personally, I'm not over the age of 50, and I really don't think I'm going to be enjoying getting the colonoscopy because of, you know, everything that I've seen involved with it, you know?
I'm a female. I've had to have colonoscopy. And no, I didn't enjoy it. You know,
you have one. Uh-huh.
But I'm just saying, which that's another total topic, and I ain't even going there. But like I said, you'd be surprised of the gay, the lesbians, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could be right up under you every single day, and until they're ready for you to know it, you would not know it.
Even your kids.
I think
even
if they,
kids.
You know what? I just it depends on the personality, because I know girls that I would never thought that came out and told me, but they told me in confidence it was nothing like my business. Go back and talk to somebody else. But I guess they was like, you know, I just want to let you know. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, that's my okay, all right. Do you? You know, but I think they'll tell people who they trust before they tell anybody else.
See. And it was also a female I know that did it with somebody. You understand? You know, they didn't leave the relationship, but they was in a relationship and they did something with a female. And they said they kind of liked it. So I'm like, wow.
Well.
So you'd be surprised at.
So what do you consider the people that when they buy? Because I'm saying, because I have some, I don't know, I think my guy's confused.
They go both ways if they buy.
No, just saying. I'm not talking about that in a bad way. I'm not talking about in like, you know, whatever. It's just like when we have something, it's like it could be like a year like this and then another year like it's like, well, what is she doing? Everybody's like, well, are she going to present them guys now? I'm like, I don't know. But like one year you bring a female around the family and all that. Then 2 years, another year later, you bring like this guy you date. And I'm like, well, okay.
Wow.
And I'm not talking about her, but that's what I see when I'm around her. And family stuff, you know, and she is my gossip. Like, oh, yeah.
But you know what, honestly, and I think
let me ask you, would you judge a person?
No.
If that was your friend, and you found out they left their relationship to be with the same sex, how would you judge them? How would you look at them different?
As long as you don't disrespect me, I don't care what you do. As long as you don't come at me, you're good to go.
Phrase it in a different way, like if somebody comes in and tells you compared to one of my friends, if it's one of my social friends, I'm going to have a talk with her, Rich. I'm not lying. I definitely am going to have a talk. I want her to hear my side of the story. And then I accept what I want to say because I may, you know how you may know them, both of them for a long period of time. But I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, let me just accept. No, I'm going to let her know how I feel about it. You know, just say what I'm just talking in general.
But see, if you let her know, you are judging her.
No, I'm not judging her. I'm telling her you know, or you know, just tell her as a friend. That's my closest friend. So I think I can tell, talk to her. Isn't our closest? We have closest friends that we have friends that we have closest friends we can talk to. And of course, I have friends that I can just, you know, what I'm saying, talk to, because they like sister to you. So yeah, but she's like my sister, my closest friend. Yes, I am going to have a talk with her. Because I want to know why, what was the cause, why put your family, just, you know, everything. I want to know the reason why. And then once you tell them, I'm like, okay, and I hope everything worked out for you, and, you know, so you need to get it there. But let her just tell me something like that. Don't say nothing. What friend do that? Good friend, I mean, not me.
Well, I mean, you know, that's me personally, because I have a family member she's gay, and she's young. You know, but that's on her, you know, because whatever we say is not going to make them change their mind.
No, he said something about, exactly. when they leave the relationship, go. He said that. I don't care nothing about if one of my cousins come out and say that. No, I'm talking about when your closest friend leave her husband or leaves his wife to go be with the same sex. What do you, are you going to say something? Yes, I am going to say something.
I wouldn't, because at the end of the day.
But if you say something, it's like you're trying to convince them.
No, I'm not convincing. I didn't say nothing about convincing. I said I want to know them. I want to know. I'm not convincing them to do anything.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're saying that you just want to know why they did it, what reason it is. You know, but see what
I'm
saying.
I'm not convincing how to do anything.
Because that's something that she wanted to do. I mean, honestly,
Rick, if that's your homeboy, and that's your good friend, been friends for years, not, you know, whatever, and he's telling you something, you mean you're going to be like, oh, okay. You mean you're going to be like, okay.
I'm going to be like, yo, whatever floats your boat. If that floats your boat, you're going with it. But as long as you don't come at me with it,
I don't want to know what changed you.
I don't want to know why you went. I don't care why you went. I don't want to get involved.
Just respect me. I guess my friends, I have close friends,
and if anything like alters changes, I mean, you know, I think we could be able to talk to each other. I want to be able to talk to her, she has to talk to me, and tell me any situations, because if she having any problems, and she didn't tell me nothing, we've been friends for all these years, and all of a sudden you're going to pop this up to me, then that means you ain't, where have our friendship been to each other?
No, see, it's a difference. See, the point I'm trying to make here is, I got my man I knew for 30 years, road dog and everything. If he came to me and said, yo, Rich, listen, I decided to leave my relationship to go with another dude, I'm going to be like, yo, if that's what floats your boat, man, you going ahead. But you keep that away from me. Just
right.
Like that. Now, if he asks me, well, do you feel it's going to do such and such and such and such and such and such? Do you feel it's going to change our friendship or this and that? Then I'm going to give my advice.
Right.
Understand? I'm not going to just be like, well, why you did it? What made you do it?
I don't know what.
Because
that's not my business. How she did it. I want to know. So when has this all? You know, whatever. I guess I'm asking a different question then. But if, like I said, one of my closest friends, I'm definitely gonna.
Uh-huh.
You know, like that's it. I am.
Some people may not be even be able to give you that answer, because I think that it's a mental. It's a mind thing. You know, I mean, this is my opinion.
Okay.
It's got to be a mind thing, because, I mean, who in their right mind would go with the same sex? It's something that's been happening in your life, and it has mentally affected you. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, but like they said, they could have been wanting to do that since they was younger.
Exactly.
And now that they older, they getting more curious. Because you see a lot of these young females nowadays.
Oh, man. Every day.
You understand? And you can't say it because of the parents. You know, it's society. You got a lot of females that see something like that, and they also get curious.
Yep.
You understand?
Don't get me wrong. You see it all up in the train station when in my travels, and more. I think more so as, you know, we have this discussion most. I guess how my aunt think right here, they say, you have, it's a class about certain gods that, you know, I guess back in their days, back in their generation, where they didn't float how these gods are rolling around here like kids. They were more class because these guys all up here, you know, switching real hard. And, you know, it's something they haven't discussed to talk about. But my thing is, as long as they're not, I mean, you got some rude ones, don't get me wrong. Then you have some ones that, like you said, the females with the nose pants hanging down, tattoo all over, whatever. And you'd be like, oh, God, who hell is this, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I you know what? I agree with you, Rich. I mean, listen, if I have a longtime friend and he decides that, you know, his feelings are going more to the same sex, again, as long as it doesn't cross over to me, I really don't have a problem with what it does. I mean, my thing is, listen, are you sure that's what you want to do? And you assure me, yeah, man, listen, that's what I want to do, man. And, you know, whatever the reason is, okay, no problem. But listen, just don't leave the seat up, because then I'm going to get upset. You understand? If you want to be going with the same sex, at least put the seat down, because if you leave it up, now I know you're fronting, I'm going to get mad. You know?
Yeah, I'm going to let it cut out the bag.
I worked at a job for 8 years. I knew my man for like 13 years, right? Now, at the job, it was this gay dude there. But you know the gay dude that dressed up with the Kangos, but you know he gay because he still got the feminine weight and everything. You understand? He came to me, and he said, yo, Rich. I said, what? He said, yo, your man is gay. I said, what? Now, this is my man I was chilling with, you know. Back in the days, we going to, it'd be like 13, 14 of us. We'd get the big bottle of Hennessy, the big bottle of Remy Red and everything. We out there drinking, partying. You know what I mean? Females walk by, talking females or whatever. He tells me, your friend is gay. I said, what you mean he's gay? He was like, I'm telling you, he's gay. Come to find out, one of the dudes he was with that he brought to the you know, around us, he was gay also. So I'm like, yo, what the hell is going on here? He was actually trying to get with the gay guy at the job.
Well, Rich. Hey,
but
Rich,
you know, I waited to see if he would tell me something. And from this day, he never told me. And from this day, he don't know I know this. Unless he's listening right now.
Are you sure that he is not just bi curious? Because you know that's the new phrase.
No.
You know what? I think it's a difference between bi curious, because every day, all right, I'm gonna give you an example. The gay guy told me he showed him his private. You understand? I'm like, what? And then one day I'm sitting at the desk and the gay guy tapped me. When I turned around, he looked, and my man, supposed to be my man, went to the back. He's like, he turned around too slow. I said, what? I said, wow. But, you know, from this day, he don't know. I ain't see him in a minute. I don't know what he's doing now. You know, but, you know, to each his own. If that's what floats your boat, then you got it. Because, you know, I don't rock like that. But hold on for 1 minute. We have another call. I want to bring them in real fast. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello?
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 Hello, you're on the air.
Can you all hear me?
What's up, Diva?
Yeah.
Well, hello. What are we talking about? What is this topic?
Wow.
Okay.
Let's give her a proper introduction. How you doing?
How you doing?
Okay.
You know,
are you ready for the topic?
I'm ready.
Okay. The topic is, what would you do if you found out your spouse left you to be with the same sex in a relationship?
In my experience, I would not be surprised. However, I have gone through an experience with my mate, where, and I'm still curious as to what to call this person, because straight up thug, total guy, homeboy, whatever, but behind closed doors, even without my knowledge, was using my toys.
Wow.
Digging yourself
oh,
out. Now, when I found this out, when I caught him, it was always a lie. Oh, no, you didn't. And, you know, I'm like, okay, well, who put this here? I didn't leave it there. You know, and why does it smell like, you know, your body part? Well, I mean, to the point where knockdown, drag out, fight. Wait a minute. We're fighting over my toy, dude, okay? So, anyway, long story short, I walked in, I bust in on him, and 20 minutes later, he's crying about he needs to go to the emergency room because he's constipated. I'm back home, crying. The doctor saved my life. I was constipated. Meanwhile, I went into his wallet, got the paper, the discharge paper from the emergency room, and it said, for an object removed from rectum. Now, tell me, please, what would you call this person? Totally seems not attracted to males, but loves to dig himself out. What would you call this person?
Wow.
He gay. He like punani
I mean, clearly is attracted to women. I can tell that. You know, I was with the person for a little time, but I at one time I was, you know, I was like, okay, well, I'm open to share your desires, but would not share that one. Would it in denial to the T? You hear me? I think this person is going to take it to their grave.
Wow.
You hear me? Yeah. So you think that this person is bi, curious?
Yeah, he's bi. No, he ain't bi curious. He's like both. He want his cake and eat it too. But he's not. He don't want anybody to actually know, even though you do know.
He wants to be undercover.
Exactly.
Undercover, brother. Wow.
Exactly.
And there wasn't a few occasions. There was not a few occasions. I'm talking would leave the house, and I would see that my toy was gone. And then when he would return the next day, sneak in, my toy would return.
Well, okay, I hope you ain't use it after he did.
No, I threw it. I had to throw them all out.
Okay, okay.
Yes, I did.
I'm going to try to put the brother in a different situation.
Uh-huh.
You sure he wasn't using it? He wasn't taking it to use it on somebody else?
No, because I walked in. I walked in on him. I heard something the very, very first time. I walked in the bathroom. I had to use the bathroom really bad. I didn't know he was in the bathroom at 3:00 in the morning digging himself out. So I walked in the bathroom to urinate, and all of a sudden I hear whoop, whoop, and I saw him something and pull his pants up. I didn't pay any mind for it. I was going to sleep. So after he walked out, I looked behind where he kept, and it was my toy. So I'm like, oh, Lord, what? I'm dreaming. I'm having a nightmare.
Right.
And it was on several occasions that this happened. And I would, you know, leave a certain mark on it to see if, you know, it would be in the household. And then finally it was crazy.
He probably packed him fudge and getting his fudge packed too.
Yeah.
You gotta pardon my French here, but when you walk in on a guy that's using your toys, you know, that's some real shit. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right. Dave, I'm going to let that pass. And I have 1,000 listeners listening to this. There's no person on this episode. But I'm going to let that one pass because that is, you said the right word for it. I didn't want to say it because I'm a host. You said the right word for it. Whoa.
I'm just kind of curious. What kind of mark do you leave on the toy like that to know if it's you? Because I'm just a personal reference. What kind of mark do you leave on the toilet such as that? I mean, do you leave one of the batteries turned upside down so it doesn't come on? And then when you come back, it's fully functional.
No, I was like right on it, put a certain mark with chalk or something on it.
Wow.
And there was one time, listen, there was one time where I got a phone call. Now, this, I kid you not, I used to be afraid to tell this story because I thought it was something wrong with me. But there was one time I got a phone call. I got arrested. I need you to pick up my car. So I said, okay, I go pick up the vehicle. And all of a sudden, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. On the passenger side in the vehicle was a toy.
Now, when you say a toy, you mean a toy gun?
Don't think about no toy gun.
A toy that he stole or borrowed or whatever from me.
Wow.
Yeah.
But see, that don't make no sense. You wouldn't borrow another toy from one female to put in another. That's
right. Right. And dude had money. He could go buy. So I knew. Like I said, I walked
on. How did that make you feel? Do you feel like it was because of you? Do you feel like?
All sorts of things would go through my mind. Now there was one time where I caught him drunk and I asked him. So he was confessing. He's like, oh, well, I figured I'd try it on myself so that I could explain to you how to take it easier.
Wow.
But then he doesn't remember telling me that because he was drunk, so.
Wow.
What's the name of your book? What's the name of your book?
I'm in the process. I will, when it does happen, I will let the executive and the head, all of the higher ups at GQ Palace know, so that we can pass on the word and I can make proceeds off of the book.
Yeah. Undercover brother, I tell you what, man, that's all right,
We ain't talking about the undercover brother with what's his name? Eddie Griffin movie either.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So it felt good to get that off my chest.
All I'm gonna say on that is I'm strictly ickly, so stay away from me. Them dykes and them gay people, stay away from me. Cause I don't want it.
Strictly ickly.
I can't say the word, so
you can't say the word, so you saying ickly. I know what she's saying. You can't say the word, so you saying ickly.
So listen, I have a question here. What was your name again?
Anonymous.
Listen, I have a question. Yes. So when you walked in, and you said, "Are you happy to see me?" It wasn't really him, but it was the toy in his pocket.
What?
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to make sure. Okay.
All
right.
Wow.
That's just funny.
That was a mouthful.
Yes.
That was a mouthful. My mouth is so open. Like, what? When you say a mouthful, I wonder if he was doing that too.
Oh, Lord. No.
He might be doing that too.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you see, the only thing about that is if you're doing it after the fact, that's like a
topic. This should have been a rated X topic and
no kids
allowed.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes. It's some stuff I want to say, but I can't do
it. But you know what? This topic, the reason this topic is so, because even though it's all listeners, kids need to know the situation of what's going on out there.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can't let nobody change their mind.
I mean, they need to know that, you know, you can die from this.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, but you got some kids out there, they got their friends. They have their friends that are changing their mind as well into doing situations like that.
Right.
Understand?
Uh-huh.
So it's good that it's all listening because the kids that's listening, you know, that know about it, they know which route to go in. You understand?
Young man and young lady, stay in the own, in your own sex group. That's what I'm not just saying sex group. I said that wrong. Be in the opposite sex. You do women, the guys, and girls, you do the guys.
If you choose to live an alternative lifestyle, just stay over there. Leave us normal people alone.
And if you're curious, just be curious. Let curiosity kill the cat. Don't cross over, honey, just to say that you did it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is. You know, that's what I think a lot of these kids are doing as well. Just to say they did it. You understand?
Yeah.
But then sometimes they get into it and they like it so much, you know, because, I've had gay, you know, friends. And, you know, a female be like, they can do you better than a man can. No, you can't. No, you can't.
You know, they say that on a fact of it being, well, you know, a woman knows a woman's body better than a man, you know.
Right.
So that's why it's said like that.
Well, I don't care if she couldn't do me better. I don't want to know. I take care of my own self if I have to. You know, and some women want to say, well, I went that route because I was hurt by another man. I don't care. I just have to keep getting hurt. Doggone it. Before I go that route, or I'll do like I have done before, I go without.
Yeah, and that's, you can appreciate that. You definitely can appreciate that, and that's honest. You know, you can appreciate that. And you know what? Not only that, you can respect that.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to let one circumstance change your whole perspective on, you know, having a relationship. Because that's basically what you're doing. You're giving up because of maybe one bad relationship. And now you just cross over. And now you're in a whole totally different realm altogether.
Can I ask y'all females a question? Why is it that y'all let one man mess up your life, mess it up for all other men? When y'all feel y'all got one bad relationship with a man, why is it y'all let the other man suffer when that could be the best man for you?
Carry like baggage. I've been there. I've done that. I was so hurt that by the one person that I, you know, the first person that I really, really fell in love with and spent a lot of time with, which happened to be that person. And, you know, it was hard to let go. It was hard to even, you know, I didn't want to start all over. I didn't want to start anew. I didn't even want to let go. I didn't even want to believe, you know, I was in denial myself of a lot of things.
Tell me about it.
And then I carried the baggage into my next relationship. But I'm so thankful to God that the man, you know, that I am now with is a wonderful, beautiful man, and he has helped me get through a lot of things.
He helped me
feel like a woman again, and I got to say, to God be the glory.
You go anonymous. You go, girl. I mean, you know what? Like I said, before I would turn to a female, and trust me, I've been hurt numerous of times. My marriage, I mean, I've been in abusive relationships, but it didn't turn me to that woman. And it won't turn me to that woman, you know, because, hey, at the end of the day, you're going to be hurt. But my thing is, you saying, why do we let one bad situation, why is it that seem like every man that you choose, that they a bad situation?
You know what? I can answer that because sometimes you got to sometimes when you go to the supermarket and you take an apple out of that barrel, sometimes the next apple you take got to be out of another barrel. Because if you keep taking apples out of that same barrel, you're going to keep getting the ones with the worm. So sometimes you got to look, and you got to look in the next aisle over there where the other, the more, the better apples are. You know? So that when you bite into that apple, it actually gives you light and understanding as opposed to biting into a worm, because the only worm you want is when you go fishing.
I stopped looking, and I asked God to send me someone that I need to have in my life. And when he sent me that person, I was so afraid, I ran the other way. But I ran to a wall and had to turn around and face that wonderful man. And I'm glad that I hit that wall and that he was right there to catch me. You know?
I know that's right. That's what I'm doing now, Anonymous.
What do y'all say with females when they say that they don't look? They wait for that right guy to come. You know, most of them wait for him to come. And so people act like that's like new, like that's not, like you're speaking a foreign language. I said, why am I? I'm not looking for no guy, looking for no man. But when you say that, they think, you know, they look at you like you're a foreign language. You speak a foreign language. Which I agree with Rachel, what she just said, because nowadays, we don't...
Anonymous.
Wow.
Anonymous,
I don't know.
Please hold and you'll be able to
Yeah, you let the cat out the bag.
That's the what?
You let the cat out the bag. That's anonymous.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, Rich, I'm sorry, anonymous.
I think this is the time where we hear
muted.
I agree with Anonymous 100%, because I try to tell them that you all need to start looking for somebody, start praying and asking God to send you somebody.
Yeah,
I agree with you 100%.
You always seem like you picked the wrong one.
For a little time,
this is what I want y'all to do, because we have another segment coming up with Dayton. He's an up and coming artist. He's doing big things, and you're going to love this music. But I want everybody to get their final thought on the topic. Hello?
I hear a lot of everybody.
What is going on there? Wow.
Okay, that was the echo. Okay, I think somebody left their toys on.
Somebody left their toys on. You get a lot of echo there.
Somebody left some batteries in.
Okay. I want everybody to get their final thought on a topic. Hey, Dave, you go first.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, man. Listen, to each his own. Like somebody said, whatever rocks your boat, literally rocks your boat. I mean, that's up to you. But listen, we all have a choice in this life. And just remember, every action causes a reaction. So be careful the choices that you make, because you can either influence someone positive or negative based on your choice. Now, whether it's your children, your friends, your family, whatever the case may be, remember that your choice is going to influence others. So be careful what choice you make, because you don't want to influence people in a negative way. You want to influence them in a positive way so that they themselves can be positive towards other people. And that's my line for today.
Okay, anybody else got something they want to say?
I'd like to say, one day I am going to write a book about this, because there's so much more to this story that there is to tell, and these things do happen. You know, as much as I laugh about it, it caused me a great pain in life. So just always know yourself. Always know yourself and keep yourself, you know, keep your head, you know, straight. You know, don't let the things in life get to you. Don't let these crazy, I can't call them all crazy, but the type of people that I you know, I've dealt with it in the past. So much of situations that you go through in life get you to the point where you get so depressed and crazy, and, you know, because there are all walks of life, black, white, purple, pink, gay, straight, bi, you know, whatever. But just know yourself and keep yourself first before everyone else, all right?
About anybody else?
Don't be curious. Just, you know, hey, keep it moving.
All right. Well, my line is flooded. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Stay on the line because next we have Dayjane. He's doing big things. He's taking his music industry to a whole nother level. We're going to play his smash and single, Forever Fly. So stay right there and don't move. This is GT Palace, love and entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
For sure. coming out the speakers. So what we're going to do, we're going to get Dave in a minute. Let me let you know what's going on with him. He's an up-and-coming artist. He got a lot of things going on. Dayton, are you there? Dayton, are you there? Well, he's an up-and-coming artist.
Yeah, could you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now. I can hear you. Okay. I don't know what happened before, but I can hear you now, so we ready to go. Now, Dayton, am I saying your name correctly?
Yeah, you definitely said it correctly. Pronounced Dayton, D-A-Y-T-O-N, just like Dayton, Ohio. Yeah, man. Definitely.
Oh. Okay. Now, I know you got a lot of things going on. How did you come up with the name Dayton? Tell us that.
Dayton, that was a name that pretty much was brought to me, you know what I mean, when I was growing up and stuff like that. Growing up the way that I did in the hood, whatsoever, you know what I mean? What it basically was, I got it because I held my stripes, you know what I mean? I held myself down in the streets, me, my brothers and stuff like that, you know what I mean? And, I pretty much wasn't going for anything. I know I was young and I was out there, you know what I mean? And gang banging and all that old crazy stuff like that, you know what I mean? So we was out there. Everything I did, I represented for myself. And basically, I got it from a lot of the old heads, you know what I mean? They used to call me, they didn't stand for down as young thug down.
Okay. Now, I know your passion for music started at the early age of 14. Who would you say influenced you, or how would you say you got started doing the music?
To be honest, my older brother influenced me. You know what I mean? Like, he was always into that music and stuff like that, making beats and sitting there writing on flows and stuff like that, you know what I mean, back in the day. So I was out there running around. I was being me. I was trying to find ways to, trying to get money to give whatever I wanted, you know what I mean, things that I needed, even though at a young age I should have been just trying to focus on, you know what I mean, other things, school and all that and stuff like that. But like I said, trying to be responsible at an early age. But the thing is, he was always doing it. He used to try to get me involved in it. And at first, I wasn't with it. But then, you know what I mean? Like, I love music. Music was always, like, a major passion to me and stuff like that. And to actually see him doing it, you know what I mean? It kind of inspired me. And it made me want to do it with him. So then I started, you know what I mean, learning how to rap and stuff like that. Becoming lyrical and then making beats on the table and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Coming up with rhythm. And then once I actually got my hands on my first keyboard, I believe it was over from there. Definitely. You know what I mean? Because I trained myself how to basically make beats and different melodies and stuff like that to go with the lyrics. And then, you know what I mean? It definitely showed progress and stuff like that, you know what I mean, me being young and that talented. And then the situation was, I got into an accident with my brother, you know what I mean, and my friend and stuff like that, and they died. And after that, like, that kind of messed me up, you know what I mean, for a while. Wow. Stuff like that. And it was like, the main thing that me and my older brother shared was music. He was destined for music, you know what I mean? And like, that was something that he wanted to create. We had a vision, you know what I mean, to build us an empire, stuff like that. And then back then, we was geeked up anyway because we was listening to No Limit and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And you know, definitely, they buzz was crazy back then, the Cash Money and all of them, you know what I mean? So we wanted to become independent and, you know what I mean, grow up and build us an empire and stuff like that. And my main thing right now, that's the vision that I'm trying to make.
Okay. Now, I know you got several mixtapes out. You had Ghetto Fantasy in 2001. You did The Street Competition Volume 1 in 2006. In 2005, you did. You had several previous mixtapes under your belt. What's the difference between the mixtapes back then compared to this one that you got out now, Forever Fly?
Well, Forever Fly, like, it's going to show development, definitely. You know what I mean? If you listen to most of my material, actually all of my material and stuff like that, you'll see progress, bro. You know what I mean? And, like, right now, I'm going to say this Forever Fly, it really relates to me. You know what I mean? It relates to my life and everything like that. It relates to a lot of situations and stuff like that, you know what I mean, that I've been through, that people close to me been through, you know what I mean, the stuff that I witnessed and everything like that. And not only that, like, it's hot, You know what I mean? It's definitely hot. Beats is catchy. You know what I mean? Flow, the delivery is definitely there. You know what I'm saying? And not only that, I'm talking about something. I'm not just on there talking about nothing. You know what I mean? So you just got to follow me. Listen to me, you know what I mean? Open your ears up, and definitely that forever flag, you know what I mean? I think that right there is it. That's the ticket, you know what I mean? So.
Okay. Now, I want to get into one of your tracks first before we get into Forever Fly. I Got Money.
Okay.
Tell us about that thing.
Now, I Got Money, honestly, like, that joint's crazy. That's all I can say about that. You know what I mean? That joint's crazy. What had happened with that right there, I was hollering at my dude down the floor, Jay Rome, you know what I mean, on doing a feature, you know what I mean, a little collaboration and stuff like that. And he was like, all right, I got this track. I want you to check it out, you know what I mean, and this is what we're going to do. So he shot me the track and stuff like that. And during that time, and I was, like, out on the road, so... You know what I mean? It came in my email, and I downloaded it. I'm in my car. I downloaded it and stuff like that, pulled to the set. Then I actually plugged it up and played the beat in it. You know what I mean? And I'm listening to the track, and instantly I'm like, ooh, this is crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I can't wait to get back to the grid, get in the studio. You know what I mean? Because I'm going to throw that joint right in Pro Tools, and it's going to be over. And that's exactly what I did. But, like, that I Got Money, I think that sounds, you know what I mean? It banging. Like I said, that is definitely exclusive, you know what I mean? It's what the streets been craving, for real, you know what I mean? But that's right there. That it represents everybody out here grinding, trying to get it, you know what I mean, by any means necessary. No matter what you're doing, you try and get your money, stacking up your paper, you know what I mean? And you shine in the best way you can. I say, just do what you do.
And you said your man produced this track, right? Or did you produce this track?
Yeah, man, Man Jay Rum on the beat, you know what I mean? As far as like producing the track and stuff like that, I did that in my studio whatsoever like that. It's a collaboration though, you know what I mean? That's definitely hot.
All right, so we're gonna get into that right now. All right, Dons and Divas. Here's a banger by Daychen. I Got Money. Remember where you heard it. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. Parental discretion is advised.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
I got money.
Huh?
I got money.
Huh?
I got plenty,
huh?
Plenty money.
Yeah.
I got money.
Move, chef game crazy like he graduated school, know how to flood blocks like
like I run the city pools. If I bring it, better pay me, or I'm shutting down your youth. Niggas get an attitude, shorties wanna holler at them. Both just got a thing in common, try to get some dollars out them. Chemistry and math class, probably made a scholar out them. Do it like Jay, brush my shoulders, pop my collar at them. This boy nice like Mike, I don't hesitate, nothing, I just do it like night. Nigga, everything I started, turn it out just right. I confront a nigga some and look at him just like
I got money.
You see it? My pocket's on full, nigga. 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 Every time you see me, I'm up to no good. On my T-Pain, DJ Khaled, so hood. Rushing through traffic, blowing down woods. The finest from the West States to Cali, I'm good. Keep me in the end zone, like I just scored. My life's an adventure, y'all is just born. I do anything I want, hold up, let me brainstorm. Y'all wanting attention, like a newborn. But you ain't gonna get it, so you better stop asking. If you don't really got it, then you better stop flashing. Buy my paper like casinos, I just flip until I cash it. Everything I earn, go in the stashing. Y'all niggas ain't watching. You can do it if you learn faster. Everything I do, I go hard at it till it's master. Now you gotta pay me for the price that I asked for. So if you can't afford it, what you asked for?
I'm feeling that right there. That's
crazy.
Yeah. We actually have a caller on the line for you. Let's just bring this caller on real fast. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Good. Wow, I just lost all train of thought. But have you made any videos to go with your music?
Videos? I got a couple videos and stuff like that. More of them, I'm in the process of actually shooting, especially like for, you know what I mean, this Forever Fly project. I'm in the, actually in the process of shooting Fab videos.
Right now.
You know what I mean? Definitely. And we're going to get them up on the web, stuff like that. And I'm trying to put like a DVD together and stuff like that as far as shows, behind the scenes, and you know what I mean, also with a lot of different video footages and stuff like that, and also with different people in my camp and stuff like that too, you know what I mean, that I'm doing different situations with and stuff like that. But yeah, definitely.
Okay. So where you see yourself being in maybe like 3 years from now?
3 years from now?
Yeah.
I'm trying to definitely, I see myself a lot farther than where I am right now.
Okay.
I mean, I definitely see myself, like, as far as having my situation and this label situation definitely completed. You know what
right.
I mean? Because I feel like 3 years, that's enough time. I mean, it's never enough time, but it is enough time to get myself situated. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Then I just feel like I'm trying to be at the point where I should be in my life. Business
man,
entrepreneur, independent.
I hear you. And wanted to say sorry about, you know, your family members and the accident and everything. And keep doing what you're doing, you know. And you'll succeed. I do believe that.
Thanks a lot. I definitely appreciate it.
No problem.
Keep going.
Yeah, it got to. You know, because if you don't, who going to do it? You know, if you don't do it for yourself, you know, nobody is going to do it for you.
Exactly.
So keep grinding, you know, take it to the top.
Definitely. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
No problem.
All right. Thanks for calling.
No problem.
Hold on, D. We have another caller for you. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you have station online. Yeah, we have.
Yeah,
how's it going?
Yeah, well, I'm good there, brother. My question to you is this, man. I know recently in the news we had a lot of different issues going on in the community and everything else. And, you know, as a rapper, how does it affect you when you see these things happening to, you know, people in our community? And it's a twofold question. And the other question is this. In the future, do you plan on having any kind of lyrics that would pertain to the somewhat of the justices or injustices on the people in the community?
Now, that's a real question right there. Now, the way I feel, to touch the subject, the way I feel about things going on in the communities, I feel it's bad, you know? And, like, one reason why it's so bad is because everybody's trying to live for now. They trying to live for the moment, you know. So they out here doing things that really they shouldn't, and a lot of people doing things that they know that they probably can't do. You know what I'm saying? But it's actually jeopardizing their situation and other people's situation and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like a lot of these boys killing each other. You know what I mean? Robberies and all types of stuff like that going on. Like, it, to me, it's nonsense, and it's not worth it. If you sit down and you actually figure out them situations, you know what I mean? It's not worth it. It's not worth jeopardizing your life or hurting somebody else for just a few bucks or whatever the situation is. You know what I mean? It definitely ain't fair and stuff like that. So, you know what I mean? The thing is, I feel like if everybody could pay attention and focus on what they're actually trying to do in life, basically get a career or some type of situation, something to involve themselves in. You know what I mean? It probably would make things better, but the way things is now, like nobody's paying attention to everything. They just want to get and see what they see other people with now. You know what I'm saying? It's all about an image now. Everybody's so focused on the image. It's like, if you can pay and afford your image, then do it. But if you got to be out here trying to get everybody else, you know what I mean? The ones that are actually trying to get it, innocent, non-innocent, you know what I mean? Legal, non-legal. Regardless, if you grinding, you grinding. But, you know what I mean? Your situation is you need to get out and get it yourself. You see somebody doing it and you want to be like them. Why be like them? Why not be yourself and try to do better? You know what I'm saying? But nobody's focused on that. They just focus on what they want now. And as far as, like, my music, me doing any material based on, like, situations in the hood, I do have tracks, actually. You know what I mean? That's, like, regarding to a lot of different situations that go under the hood. And, like, you know what I mean? Just neighborhoods, period, and stuff like that, around the world, period. Because, like, situations ain't just in the hood anymore. You know what I mean? It's everywhere now. Like, it's unsafe. You know what I mean? You got to be on point and on guard everywhere you go, whether it's to corner store or, you know what I mean, no matter the situation, you got to always be on alert because you never know what might happen. You know what I mean? So, that being said, just out here trying to stay focused, and I advise everybody to stay focused, and, you know what I mean, try to do what you can to better yourself and develop yourself and your whole situation.
Wow. We just lost his call too, so most likely he's gonna call back and everything. He just lost his call. Do you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, his call dropped. I think he's from down south of Florida. We have just lost this call. But I'm going to tell you, that was real good advice you gave. Like, that was a good question from that caller. Now,
yeah, definitely.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever came across the point, because you did so many mixtapes, you know, I mean, and that consists of a lot of writing. Have you ever come across a writer's block or anything like that?
A writer's block?
How did you proceed on? You know, because I know after the situation with your brother, you know, rest in peace, you understand? It had to come a point where you had to just relax. How did you get that energy, that adrenaline back to start writing again?
Well, what actually happened was because of that passion, like after that situation, I was down for a minute. You know what I mean? I was grieving for a minute because, like, my older brother, that was my best friend. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. he taught me everything, and, like, we were side by side, just stuck like glue. You know what I mean? So, like, after that situation, and then my boy dad, you know what I mean? And not only that, like, my situation was messed up, too, because in an accident, I was in an accident, so I dislocated my hips and everything like that, so I was down for a minute, too, and it kind of crushed me because, you know what I mean, I was on bed rest, and I had to lay back and actually, you know what I mean, like, soak in what actually just happened. Like, it wasn't reality to me, you know, and it took a while for that to happen. And, like, it was just, like, this one day, I just had to get back to it, you know what I mean? I knew that was something that we was both trying to build, and that was something that we shared, and, you know what I mean? Like, I wanted to get back to it. So what I actually did was I just actually pulled the keyboard out, you know what I mean, and, like, started finding different melodies and stuff like that, and, you know what I mean, my first thing was going to be, I'm about to make a Miss You song, you know what I mean, for my bro and my dog. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it was, and that right there actually got me back in the mood, because, you know what I mean, I was like, what other way could I talk to him better than this, better than making the track, you know what I mean, dedicated to him, and that basically gave me that gave me the strength to go back in. I promised, you know what I mean, him, and I promised myself that I was going to go hard, and I'm going to keep going hard, and, you know what I mean, I'm going to definitely try to make this thing happen, you know what I mean, so he can stay smiling down on me, you know what I mean, that's my guardian angel, Destiny, you know
what I mean? Sure. Wow. We actually have the caller back on the line to ask you the question. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, man. I apologize for that, that's the interruptancy, but, you know, sometimes people try to intervene when they see positive things going on, and, you know, they try to mm-hmm. cut us off and maybe cut us down, but at the same time, listen, brother, you continue to do what you're doing, like you said, you know, you're going to get your blessings where you deserve them, you're going to have your grace and your mercy, because at the end of the day, grace is getting something that you don't deserve, and mercy is getting something that you do deserve, but here's the thing. Continue to thank the Lord for your blessings, my friend, and continue to do you. You're going to have critics regardless of what you do and where you go. You're going to have critics. You can't please all the people all the time, but you can please some of the people some of the time. And right now, right, you're pleasing man. Some of the people, and those are the people that you need to concentrate on. You know you know what I'm saying?
Right, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Just do you, man. Do you, continue to do you, and, you know, you found your calling. A lot of people don't know their calling. You found yours. And just make it happen. And I tell you what, man, God is going to bless you in a wonderful way. And your family, you know, again, like she said, you know, we sympathize with you, and we understand that, you know, especially when families involved in incidents and things of that nature hurt you. But you know what? At the end of the day, God used that for His glory. And right now, you're glorifying Him by being able to overcome the things that happen to you and make, you know, in a positive light. But just continue to do, man. Do you, man. And I tell you what, you'll be all right. You're going to be just fine. All right?
Thanks a lot. Yep, I appreciate it. I definitely appreciate the criticism and everything like that. I'm going to keep on pushing. Can't stop now. Mm-hmm. I'll never stop.
Can't stop. Mm-hmm.
No, never stop.
Okay. Now, Dayton, let me ask you. Where do you see your inspiration and goals, let's say, as you come becoming an upcoming artist? What is your inspiration and goals?
My inspiration and goals is, like, to be honest, like, an artist, I'm more than just an artist. A producer, man, engineer, definitely. Like, I'm a overall businessman. Like, on top of that, as far as, like, me being an artist and my inspiration, like I said before, like, I love music, and, like, I'm surrounded by music every day on a day-to-day basis and stuff like that, so, you know what I mean, and knowing the fact that I can actually make music, and it's hot, and I have the passion for it. I build the passion for it, you know what I mean? And I'm trying to strive to actually have my own major label one of these days. You know what I mean? Like, definitely. Like, that's my focus. That's where I'm actually trying to, you know what I mean, get right there. I definitely want to have my own major label. To have a major label with a lot of different talent and artists, because there's a lot of different talent out here. You know what I mean? Like, I always try to connect with it. You know what I mean? Whether it's different artists or producers, I always try to connect with it. If you hot, it's going to stand out. You know what I mean? It's going to definitely show and stuff like that. And I also try to connect with people, you know what I mean, that I feel got the same feeling about music that I have. You know what I mean? Just trying to push and just trying to reach something. You know what I mean? They got a goal, determination, or whatsoever. You know what I mean? Just trying to be out there shining. And that's what I'm trying to do. You know what I mean? I'm trying to deliver my music to everybody. So I'm trying to get everybody in tune with me. You know what I mean? To understand me, walk into my life, walk into my shoes and stuff like that. You know what I mean? See what I represent. Plus, you know what I mean? Hold my city down. Pittsburgh representative, definitely.
I definitely feel you. Now, if you could open for any artist that's out right now, who would it be and why?
If I could open for any artist right now, I'm going to say Jay. You know what I mean? I'm going to say Jay-Z, definitely. I've always been a major fan of Jay, you know what I mean? And, like, he definitely inspired me, too. You know what I mean? Like, all the way back in the day, kicking it with, you know what I mean, the streets hard, not, like, definitely. Like, Jay, you know what I mean? He came a long way, you know what I'm saying? And, like, his music, I used to feel his music because back then, like, you know what I mean, when I was listening to Jay, you know what I mean, the Blueprint and all that stuff like that coming up, it's like a lot of them situations was my situation, you know what I mean, or I could relate to them and everything like that versus, like, I mean, I did listen to a lot of other artists and stuff like that, but, like, a lot of other artists, like, they was just hard to me, but they wasn't, like, they didn't catch me like Jay did, you know what I'm saying? Like, definitely, because he was talking with, you know what I mean, what I was trying to hear in situations and stuff like that. But like Jay-Z, you know what I mean, I've always been a major fan of him, definitely, you know what I'm saying? So to open up for him, I think that'd be a blessing, definitely. Just to, you know what I mean, showcase my talent to him, and you know what I mean, to get his point of view or his criticism, whatever, you know what I mean, on whatever I'm actually trying to perform. But I know, like, to actually open up for him, I have to do something exclusive, and it got to be crazy. You know what I mean? It would definitely have to be crazy because Jay, he in the music, and it's like, if it's not hot, it's not hot. You know what I mean? Like, you definitely got to be on your game, definitely. You know what I mean? When you're trying to make something for, like, somebody that got the title that he has right now.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That could definitely take your career in a whole nother route also. You know what I'm saying? Definitely, because he has the opportunities to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to ask you another question, then I want to get into your single, Forever Fly. Now, as far as the labels, are you looking for something major or something independent? It really don't matter.
Like right now, you know what I mean? I would definitely go major, you know, but like as far as like getting a lot of this product out that I got and stuff like that, you know what I mean? I'll pretty much, if it's a good situation and I feel that it's going to be growth for me and the label, then, you know what I mean? I'm ready to rock with it. Definitely, you know what I'm saying, to get another release out and stuff like that, and you know what I mean, everybody getting paper at the end of the day, and everybody's happy, and you know what I mean, the fans, and everybody's happy, and they loving the material and stuff like that. So as far as that, you know what I mean, it's based on the situation, but yeah, I would definitely want to go major, but independent, you know what I mean, it works also, you know what I mean, it's based on the situation.
Now, let's get into your single, Forever Fly. Tell us about that song.
Forever Fly. Now that joint right there, I did that joint like after I had this photo shoot or whatsoever, you know what I mean? So I was doing a little Ed Hardy, Louis photo shoot, and for my bros, you know what I mean? Free Smoke, definitely, you know what I mean? For my bros' video, the Gucci and Louis joint, you know what I mean? That we posted release was definitely going to be up and coming, but like after that. You know what I mean? That joint was so crazy, and it's like it's his project, you know what I mean? But he got himself in a situation, so, you know what I mean? He's sitting down. He's locked up right now, so we couldn't release that. So I was like, I need to make a joint right now, you know what I mean? That's like in the same aspect, the same feeling and stuff like that to this track. And that's what I came up with, Forever Fly. You know what I mean? Because every day, I stay fresh to death. You know what I mean? My closet is ridiculous. You know what I mean? Shoes, jeans, shirts, TV, hoodie, everything. You know what I mean? Fitties, all of that stuff like that. Like, every day I step out, you know what I mean? I'm always fresh. I'm always fly. You know what I mean? I'm like a Nikon, a walking Nikon. You know what I mean? So, like, Forever Fly, that's what it's about. You know what I mean? Just grinding. Stay flat. Stay fresh.
Okay, so we're going to get into that right now. All right, Dons and Divas. Here's another banger by Dayton, Forever Fly. Remember where you heard it. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby. Parental discretion is advised.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Try to act hard, but got a cream filled
on that joint. I'm feeling that joint. Forever fly. Gotta throw that on the mix, the GQ Polish mix CD, man.
Definitely. That joint crazy right there, too. Man, I mean, I like that. Definitely. But like
now,
I said.
Go ahead.
Like I said, I mean, you know what I mean? That Forever Fly mixtape, definitely. You know what I mean? That joint, it's off the chain. You know what I mean? It got so many different. It just got so much crazy material on there. You know what I'm saying? I feel that everybody's going to be able to relate to something on that record. You know what I mean? Definitely.
Now, you're a writer, you're a producer, you're an artist. How do you manage everything out?
To be honest, it's difficult because, you know what I mean? It's time consuming, definitely. You know what I mean? So I feel like you gotta have a passion for it, you know what I'm saying? Because it takes a lot. And there's, as far as me, like, being a producer, like, you know what I mean? I love to make beats. Like, I love new sound, new material. So I'm constantly in the lab, steady making beats after beats. Every session that I have, when I'm just actually making beats, my average, I try to make at least 10 beats every session. And I try to get a session in almost every day, if not every other day. I'm going to say at least 4 to 7 times a week. You know what I mean? So you can just imagine, like, in every session, you know what I mean, I try to make that many beats. And what I do is I try to find the hottest one out of all of them beats, all 10 beats, and I make a record out of it. And the other ones I just put in the catalog, you know what I mean, for future records or whatsoever like that, or, you know what I mean, to actually sell them on features or whatever the situation is and stuff like that. But to actually be a producer and then the artist, like, I love that feeling, though, because it's like I can make the beat and then I can just throw it up in the Pro Tools, you know what I mean, and actually go ahead and write out a record to it, you know what I mean, a hot track and stuff like that, and, you know what I mean, be a completion right then and there. So, like, it takes a lot. It definitely takes a lot. It's definitely time-consuming, you know what I mean? And, then also trying to push as far as, like, promo and stuff like that, marketing, you know what I mean, and trying to land shows and everything like that. Like, it's definitely hard and stuff, you know. So I'm getting my team together, you know what I mean. I definitely got my manager out there, you know what I mean, rocking with me, Chill World, definitely. And, you know what I mean, a whole bunch of other situations and stuff that I'm trying to actually build. But, yeah, being a producer and an artist, though, you know what I mean, I feel like it's amazing. Awesome. You know what I'm saying? Because it's all creativity, especially when you get your own sound. You know what I'm saying? And it's hot. That's what I'm saying. I think everybody should come mess with me. You know what I mean? Like, I know I got something for every artist out there. You know what I mean? Or even producers. You know what I mean? I'll link up with, you know what I mean, different producers. If you hire, you know what I mean? Like, we could definitely get something cracking. Definitely. And Versus and Hook is on deck, too.
Good. Now, who produced the Forever Fly beat?
I produced that record.
Oh,
man, like, that record's definitely.
And how long did it actually take you to produce, compose, write this that specific single? Since you did all that by yourself, how long did it actually take you to do that?
That beat, like I said, you know what I mean, when I go in there and these sessions and stuff like that, as far as making the beats, actually, I'm a rewind it. You know what I mean? What happened with that? Like I said, I wanted to make a record in regards to, you know what I mean, my bro's record and stuff like that. And I wanted it to be hot too. And like, I was listening to his record. You know what I'm saying? One day, I just got that hook in my head, like Forever Fly, and I'm like, ooh, gotta be hot if I get the right beat behind it, you know what I mean? And, I actually went into the studio and I was thinking about a hook. I was trying to put a hook together, you know what I mean? And then I came up with that hook, and I was like, I need a beat for it. You know what I'm saying? So what I did, like, I spit the hook inside my phone, just like a rough draft of it, you know what I mean, on a voice recorder and stuff like that. I did that, and I listened to it a couple times, and I was like, all right, well, I need to reword this, reword that, say it like this, say it like that, but I'm going to make some beats, you know what I mean? So, like, it usually takes me around, like, I'm saying, like, on average, to actually get the melody and stuff like that for most of my beats, like, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know what I mean? Like, tops for real. And then, like, if I'm in it, I'm gonna keep going through it, you know what I'm saying, and definitely complete it and bouncing down and stuff like that. And what I did, I tried to make 3 beats to that same hook, and what I did, I picked the best one, you know what I mean, I picked the one that I felt would go better with it, and then I rocked with that. So, you know what I mean, I laid that out. It took me probably around, like, I'm going to say like 15 minutes and stuff like that to get the beat bounced down and everything like that, and then tossed over in the Pro Tools. And then once I got it tossed over in the Pro Tools, I already had the hook rough drafted in my head and stuff like that. So, you know what I mean? I was like, I'm going to go and lay this hook down, and then I'm going to go out and write these verses. So I laid the hook down, you know what I mean? And like that took me possibly like another 20 minutes and stuff like that, you know what I mean, to get it to where I wanted to be. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to take this next hour to sit here and write all 3 of these verses. And so I took the next hour, which it actually only took me like 40 minutes because I was actually into it. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, all right, I got these down. Now I'm going to go ahead and record them. And I went in and record them. So on average, it probably took me, like, if you put all the time together, maybe possibly about 3 hours, you know what I mean, 3 hours to get that record done. That's only because not only did I make the beat and write the lyrics, but I had to engineer the record also, you know what I'm saying, in the process. So, you know what I mean, it took me about 3 hours and stuff like that to rock it out, and then, you know what I mean, edit it and mixing it and stuff like that, getting it together. So, you know what I mean, I think it's official too. You know what I mean, for that time frame, definitely.
Okay, now let me ask you, what's the next step for things?
The next step from here is trying to find the right situation. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm out here looking for. You know what I mean? The right situation at one of these labels whatsoever, but also trying to build my brand and my label at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, in actual reality, I'm not going to just sit back and wait for a label situation to happen. You know what I mean? I'm going to keep pushing and pushing my brand and my movement, because who knows? I could probably make it to the point where it's like, I really don't need no other label situation. You know what I'm saying? So it'll just be like me actually just doing releases, doing projects, you know what I'm saying, with different labels and everything like that. But definitely, I'm definitely looking for a situation, you know what I'm saying? So if everything's detailed, laid out, you know what I'm saying, like, I'm definitely going to rock with it. If everybody's going to benefit at the end of the day, I'll be able to get, you know what I mean, some of the hottest material out there that I know that's going to generate a buzz and generate sales, or where everybody's eating at the end of the day, you know what I mean? I'm ready to rock with you.
Okay. Now, my line is flooded, so if you want to speak to Dayton and you're already on the line, all you got to do is press 1 to go on the air. We have a couple of minutes left. If you have something you want to say to Dayton or go on the line, you on your PC, the number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air, or you can stay on the line to hear the show. Now, your performances, do you have any performances coming up?
Right now, I'm in the process of getting, you know what I mean, a few shows and everything lined up to actually get out here and promote this Fabric Fly project. So, you know what I mean, like, situations definitely will be, I'll give it around like the end of August, you know what I'm saying, once I actually get a couple events and stuff like that already lined up, I'm going to try to get out here and get back on the scene and stuff like that and promote this project, you know what I mean, as hard as possible because, you know what I mean, I feel there's a lot of potential in this actual project. And I feel everybody else is going to think the same and actually agree, you know what I mean, if they go out there and get it, check it out. You could definitely get it on, it's available right now on Dat Piff, you know what I mean, exclusive download, the Forever Fly mixtape, you know what I mean. All you got to do is go and type in Dayton 1217, you know what I mean, it'll bring that up. And it'll bring up my other mixtapes, you know what I mean, with this City Limits and everything like that. That joint's crazy too, so, you know what I mean, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you this, because I ask every up and coming artist this. You know, we have another segment going on, but I need to ask you this: has it ever came to the point where you had got stage fright, and you got thrown the dark glasses, and you know, so people won't see your eyes, so you won't look out in the audience and all that? And if
honestly,
so, what was that experience like?
You said if so, what was that last line? Well,
yeah, what was that experience like?
Oh. See, for me, I'm a people's person. And I always loved an audience. You know what I mean? So it was like to actually be on stage. Like when I was younger, you know what I mean? Like in school doing talent shows and all that stuff like that. Yeah, I was afraid. You know what I mean? I had stage fright then. Like being in front of people because it was something that, like, you know what I mean? I was young, man. I was like 7, 8, I believe, you know what I mean? The first time on shows, like, I was nervous, but after the fact, you know what I mean? When I got the applause and everything like that, because it was like a whole classroom event, you know what I'm saying? Like, after that, I felt different, but, like, now, there's no stage fright because it's me doing something that I'm doing. You know what I mean? Personally, all my creation and stuff like that, and I want to expose it, you know what I mean, and definitely see how people feel about it. But, like, it's like when I'm on that stage, it's like, I don't know, it's like I'm on top of the world for real. You know what I mean? And all I try to do is get on the vibe with me. You know what I mean? Turn up, definitely. So, like, as far as stage fright, nah, there's no stage fright for me. You know what I mean? Now, I ain't rock no millions of crowds, you know what I mean? Crowds and millions or 100,000 or something like that. So it's like, I might see that and be like, whoa. But it's going to make me go harder. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm used to, like, different venues and stuff like that, clubs and, you know what I mean? Like, spots like that, that we actually get in and at, you know what I mean? But, like, selling out arenas, I think that'd be hot. I think I would love that right there. Just because of all of the attention, you know what I mean? And I know I have to go extra hard, definitely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Dixon, what I want you to do, you know, it's definitely an honor to have you on. I want you to give everybody your information once again, let them know where they could get the CDs, let them know how they could contact you, and everything like that.
Definitely. Like I said, right now, y'all definitely got to get out there and check that Forever Fly mixtape, you know what I mean? Like I said, that's on Dat Piff right now, which is Dayton 1217 on Dat Piff. Well, you can get at me on Facebook, you know what I mean? And it's all wired through the same thing. Facebook is Dayton 1217, you know what I mean? Or look up Dayton Pittsburgh's Finest, you know what I mean? Dayton PGH, or follow me on Twitter, you know what I mean? At Dayton 120006. That's Dayton 12006. Definitely. You know what I mean? And for like features and whatever, I just holler at me at Dayton 1217@gmail.com. That's what it is. You know what I mean? Beats on deck, verses on deck, hooks on deck, you know what I mean? Everything. Definitely.
All right. Dayton, I want to tell you once again, it's been an honor. Send us those exclusives. You know, you go on the GQ Palace magazine as well. You know, we're going to definitely put you on the mix CD, put it out there and everything. And you're definitely going to have us promoting and doing whatever else we could do for you. No questions asked. And keep sending us those exclusives so we can rotate them and play them. Like I said, we have 8 different episodes a week, so it's never a problem.
Definitely. Truly appreciate it, man. Glad to be rocking with you.
No doubt. No doubt. Dayton, Dons, and Divas. All right, coming up next, we have author Kimberly Silva, and we're going to talk about her novel that's hitting the nation real hard. Excuse me, Life at the End of the Tunnel. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
For sure.
Yeah. Forces join forces. Uh-huh. Let's go.
Reminisce on what we had, but I can't help but count the ways you've been there for me, and I don't think you know how much you mean to me, cause I hold you tight, cause it feels so right, cause from me to you, cause all I wanna do is
see the smile back on your face,
see the smile on your face,
and you know just how much of love in the morning, always see you through. What have I done for you? I should pull you close to me, have you see how much I love you, thankful for all that you do. I hope I see the smile on your face, because you know how much.
GQ Palace Radio. With me right now, I have author Kimberly Silva. Kimberly, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks so much for having me. Hello, everybody. Hello.
Hey, I want to thank you for joining us. I know you are a busy woman and you have a lot of things going on. So I really want to thank you for joining us. Now, I want to get into your novel, Life at the End of the Tunnel. Now,
yes.
What actually made you name your novel that title?
So it was a long process, and that's a very good question, but it has to do with the passing of my first husband at a very young age of 39 years old. So he was 39, and we have three very young kids. At that time, they were 5, 6, and 9. And It was something that I never thought I would have to go through. I think when everybody takes their vows of till death do us part, they don't think that it's going to be ending within, 10 or 15 years. And it was just something that I didn't think I would be able to get through. So he was diagnosed with melanoma about, it was 2 years before he passed, but it wasn't a severe case at that time. And I think a lot of people shrug off melanoma, and kind of so did we at that time, because you always think it's something that might be much worse than it is when a small mole is detected. And even though he went through some clinical trial treatments, he was fine. He was a marathon runner. He ran 5 to 10 miles every single day. And it was about 2 years after his initial diagnosis that we found out that all of a sudden it was in his brain. And about 2.5 months later, he was gone. So he passed on to the next world. So that's kind of where the title comes from, where I was approaching a tunnel myself. I mean, there's a lot of analogies, of course, to people passing on and seeing a tunnel and seeing, a light at the end of the tunnel. But for me, it was a personal transfiguration about how do I get through this at such a young age with three young kids, how do I rebuild my life, rebuild my routine. And I got through it. I'm convinced that the powers above carried me through it, and I found happiness again. And in that, I debated on a lot of titles, and this is the one that stood out, and it really kind of holds true to that, the essence of the whole experience. So I hope that that's paint you a decent picture about, where the title came from, because I went back and forth in my own mind about what to title the book.
Okay. Now, is your novel published or is it self-published? And if it is, how long did it take for you to publish the novel?
Oh, this is an excellent question, actually, because first off, I never thought I would ever be an author. I have a scientific background, so I worked in labs for many years, and I worked for some pharmaceutical companies. When this all happened to me, I've never really written poetry, anything like that. So after he passed, about a week later, I just started writing, saying that I'd been through something so powerful, and it was something way beyond what I thought I'd be able to remember a couple years from then. And I just put everything down in words, truly from the heart, raw, everything, and I just kept on writing about his passing, about how he changed, about what I was looking for, information, about anything that would be helpful for myself or the kids to remember everything. And then I had started to circulate it to a few people, and they said, this might help other people who are kind of going through the same thing. Maybe you should publish it. So I wrote a little bit more, and I just kept on writing. And then I met somebody who ended up becoming somebody very special in my life this is a couple, now it's a couple years down the road. I ended up marrying this person who had helped me to realize that I can be a writer, and he encouraged me to write about the experience and really share my thoughts and my ideas and bring out that artistic side of myself and help others. And it was kind of a wonderful process. But to be a writer, I had a lot of fear that I needed to get picked up by a lot of major publishing houses, and that's not the case. Once I did a lot of research about it, it became clear that You don't need to send out your manuscript to a lot of places. You can self-publish, and I actually did that through a subset of Amazon.com that's called createspace.com. And there are all sorts of options of, you know, how they can help you, but you can be a self-publisher rather easy. And you can choose all of your media channels. You can choose all of your sales channels, all those sorts of things. So once I started breaking down some of the barriers of what intimidated me, it became more and more clear that, yes, I can not only be an author, but I can self-publish my book. And it's kind of an interesting term to say, you know, self-publishing, it kind of implies me, myself, and I, you know, I'm the one who did everything, but it is still somewhat of a collaboration with a couple of different, you know, smaller organizations to, you know, put it up on Amazon or to distribute it and things like that. But it was an awesome experience to actually be able to publish and to receive the first copies of the book in the mail, which, you know, when I wrote the words, it was almost as if there were, you know, pieces of my soul that were part of the writing, and to see it in print was pretty amazing.
Wow. Now, what was the hardest part about writing the novel?
The hardest part about writing? Honestly, so a couple of people have asked me this question, and that's another very good question. Since I started writing very quickly after my first husband passed on, and then I just kept writing. So I think that the initial painful experiences I wrote right away, so it wasn't hard to write them because I was kind of still in that emotional phase, and it was just still very powerful to me and very natural. The hardest part was when I went back and did editing and sat down in front of the computer and just read it, put, you know, headphones on with music, so I was kind of just tuning out all of the outside world, and I said to myself, oh my gosh, I really went through all of this. You know, I really lived this. And the detail in the book is something that personally, you know, I'm very proud of exposing that level of emotion. And I've gotten a lot of comments that people have said that it is very well, I mean, it's very raw, it's very vivid. There's a lot of detail. It has a lot of, you know, praise for the battles associated with the cancer. There's a lot of perhaps scientific or medical thought to it because of my scientific background, and a lot of the things when you start to get results on the telephone from a doctor, and, you know, the emotion that goes through your mind or the rationale or how do you prepare for two different scenarios that may hit you, because on one hand, you try to say, now we can fight this, he's going to be okay. But on the other hand, you say, you know what? My scientific side is telling me that, you know, 18 different tumors inside the body is not good. I have 3 kids that I need to handle and balance this if everything goes to the bad side and it doesn't work out. So you kind of walk along two lines, and the writing, like, really helped to get out balancing those two emotions, which was a struggle, which was very hard for a long time.
Now, is there a message in the novels that you want the readers to grasp?
Is there a message in the what? I'm sorry?
Is there a message in the novel that you would like the readers to grasp that?
I think that some of the biggest things are that, for me personally, and I'm not trying to prescribe to anybody, you know, what they should do in this situation. It's more of just a sharing and, you know, an affirmation about what I went through, and maybe it's helpful to others. To me, it really affirmed my own beliefs in that life doesn't end. We just change forms, and it's just the body that we get rid of, and we move on to something that we can't even comprehend. And the signs that I've had since then, a lot of the signs are described in the book, but the signs that if our hearts and minds and souls and ears are all open, there's tons of signs out there that we can perceive, you know, from those who have gone on before us. And honestly, I don't say that my first husband really died. To me, it's not death. It's more of a change of form for any of us. And I know that's personal, and I know a lot of people have, you know, very different beliefs, but it's something that really has strengthened my own beliefs and made me a lot more comfortable with everything, along with the kids, too. So it's been a very wonderful example of something that's touched us very closely. And in the very beginning of the book, I also mentioned that, you know, when I look back on what I went through, I don't know how I did it. I can only attribute it to, you know, being carried by God, and that's myself. It doesn't mean it happens to everybody, but it was something that I don't know how I did it. And I do give thanks to God for giving me a true example of, you know, now I know what it feels like to be carried, as in, you know, the poem about footsteps on the beach, because it is something that it showed me that it's true that you can be carried through things. So I think that those are two of the, I guess, on the sad side of the story, you know, to keep in mind. On the happy side, people can find happiness again. I didn't really think it might be possible for me, but it was. And I'll always remember a week after my first husband passed, and I went out to lunch with a girlfriend and one of her good friends that I hadn't met before. Ironically, her name was Kimberly, too. And her first husband had passed away from melanoma about 2 years prior. So there was a lot of irony in that as well. And she looked at me and she said, "You'll be happy again someday. I know you don't believe it, but you will." And I kind of always thought that, you know, there are ways of getting through things and just kind of face everything head on instead of letting it run you over. And that's kind of what I've lived by, and I guess that's where it got me to where I am today.
Okay. Now, as you being an author, is there any other authors that you feel is like a mentor towards your writing ability?
You know, honestly, I didn't read books like this. I mean, now I've read more since then, but a lot of the reading that I did before this was very much quantum physics based. So being a scientist, I had a lot of thoughts about, well, okay, how do we explain, you know, where we might go when we pass on? How do we explain, you know, where heaven might be? And quantum physics was getting closer to pointing out what could eventually be some of those answers. So I occupied my time reading into that, and I had, you know, spoken to my first husband a lot about those sort of, you know, books or thoughts. So that's where a lot of my mindset was. It was much more on the scientific side. So honestly, since everything happened, I've had quite a transfiguration of myself to open up a whole different side of me, and then the personal growth as well, where I've changed a lot of the way I think about things. I'm, you know, much more of a open person to what life may bring you. And I have, with the book, of course, I have, you know, a Facebook page for the book and a website for the book, but I post a lot of thoughts about what's got me through everything. And one of them was how, you know, it was like 9 days before my first husband passed, and it still hadn't gone extremely, it still wasn't extremely downhill. He was still able to walk around. We were on a boat ride with the three kids, and he was driving the boat, and I looked around, and I even texted his mom and said, "This is just something. It feels like such normalcy." It was just so amazing to feel normal while he was driving the boat and everybody's laughing and everything looks wonderful. And I wrote that people must be looking at us thinking everything is normal. Meanwhile, we know that he was dying. And it's just something how you may look at other people and think that everything's fine. But really, there could be a lot that we are covering up or hiding or just trying to get through. So it was, you know, that's one example of how I've changed and how every day I look at people and say, even if they have a smile on their face, you don't know what they're doing. I mean, there was days when he was getting close to passing when I would escape and go to the local grocery store and get, you know, something, whether it was a bandage or whatever he needed. And people would look at me and think, oh, is this for your kids? Is this for your, you know, grandparents? And no, I mean, you know, so you never know what people are going through. So it just gives you a much different perspective on everyday life that I think a lot of people take for granted.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, as far as you writing about your husband, you know, life at the end of the tunnel, how did his family feel about you writing this novel based upon them?
They, you know, I think that several of us kept some diaries about everything, so I don't think that they were surprised at the writing. And after his passing, you know, there was an initial couple of chapters that I had written, and I shared the writing with others, and it was well received. And I think that the writing in general helped to show how much everybody loved him, and also just what it's like to care for somebody that's going through that. His mother was very close to me during the time. She practically, you know, spent nights at the house, like every single night for a long time. So did his sister and a couple of the brothers. And it talks about that. And I think that as I was going through it, like, I couldn't find information out there about, you know, what was it like to have this go on in your household. And even after that, since the writing talks about me finding love again, happiness again, going through this sort of transformation, his mom had even talked about, you know, I had her, honestly, I had her proofread it before it actually got published. And and she had mentioned that it was something that helped her to even better understand that I wasn't moving on. It wasn't about getting rid of her son at all, because he's still so much part of our lives. But I was blessed enough to meet somebody who was not only welcome to that sort of peace in our environment, but someone who was really accepting of the whole situation and loved me and loved the kids that weren't his and were able to build this brand new life, you know, from scratch and put everything together like we're a Brady Bunch. So it's just, I think it's been a total growth experience for everybody.
Now, you was growing up as a scientist, and, you know, this tragedy experienced you to write this novel. It's just, you plan on writing another novel, or are you planning on going back to the way things were? Are you going to continue being a writer?
You know, it's funny. Yes. Honestly, I've thought about going back and doing some more writing, because I've thought about going around and interviewing a whole bunch of my first husband's family to get more stories about him growing up, him teenage years, things like that, because our kids were very young, you know, so the youngest was 5, and she's admitted she doesn't remember that much about them. And it's kind of, it just breaks your heart to hear that. When she says to you, it was about a month ago, she says to me, "Mommy, what did Daddy's voice sound like? Because I don't remember it." And it just breaks your heart down. And it just caused me to think about the fact that, all right, so his passing was very difficult for a ton of people, no doubt. I can never imagine what it's like to lose a son or brother or an uncle. To me, he was husband, kids, he was the father. It changed our routine, all sorts of things. But she only has a handful of memories, whereas everybody else has a lot of memories that they can focus on. So now it's like, wow, I really need to focus more on rebuilding memories for them and capturing all these memories that everybody else has in their head, but these kids don't because they were so young. So I thought about kind of collecting a lot of input from other family members and writing a prequel, which would be a lot of stories building up to the, you know, his passing. And so the kids would have something to know more about him, and so would everybody else. So that's one of the main thoughts about what I like, what I would like to do next.
Now, let me ask you, if you had the chance to do it all over again, would you change anything in the novel?
Would I change it in the novel? Not really. I mean, there's in any sort of memoir, there's chunks that, all right, should I leave it in? Should I leave it out? There's details that may distract from the main story. So the novel went through easily, you know, 20 iterations to get to where it is. So other than, you know, maybe some grammatical things, I don't think I would really fine tune things. I think that any of the further thoughts I would have, you know, might be in, like I mentioned, the prequel, or, you know, putting some pieces in like that around it. Or I've also thought about putting together a musical CD that goes along with the book that kind of matches up some of the songs that are mentioned in the book, because there are some songs that relate to whether it's his passing or his time in the hospital, you know, when there was a musical person that came to his hospital room to do musical therapy while he was having seizures from the tumors. So I list those songs. I mention them. So there are some wonderful songs throughout the whole thing, whether it's that, whether it's the music that's mentioned from his funeral that is still beautiful, or after that, there are signs that were very clear when, you know, an iPod would come on and play a certain song. There are some things like that maybe I would add and put in a different way.
Now, is there anything that you consider particularly challenging in your writing ability?
Challenging in my writing abilities?
Yeah, is there anything particularly challenging in your writing ability?
Yeah, I'm not really a writer. I'm being honest there. I mean, it was, I'm not a writer. I think that kind of sums up that question, but I was very intimidated by the whole thing. I had several people edit the book. I never thought it was completely ready. And then I hit a point where people were like, you know what, put it out there. You'll be fine. It's, you know, 99.9% there. And you get intimidated by people taking a look at your writing, and it's normal. So that was my biggest hold up, because I always said to people, I'm not an author.
Well, we have a call that I want to answer, so we're going to bring them on, okay?
All right, sounds
Hello.
Good.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you?
Hello, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, how are you?
I'm blessed, thank you. Well, I don't even know where to start, because I know it had to be a hard ordeal to go through, you know, and I like that where you said that, you know, you're going to ask around the family, with the family, more things about him, and
yeah.
I think that's a great thing, you know, and for you to have written a book, you know, because of his, you know, passing and everything, was even better, you know, and
yeah.
Oh, wow. I just say it takes a great person to have dealt with that, you know, and I'm glad you found love again, you know,
Is it affecting the kids at all? I mean, do they go through any type of changes since his passing?
Oh, my gosh. So, first off, thank you so much. You're a sweetheart. I'm not a great person, so I do give my credit to God above in terms of getting through everything, because I really do not take credit for it. I do feel like I was carried through everything. The kids have done amazingly well. One of the things that I always focused on, and so did my first husband, was as it became clear that he was going downhill, and we didn't have that much of a warning. It was really only 2 months or so, 3 months.
Wow.
That, you know, we said, first off, we're not going to lie to kids. We were never going to say, Daddy's going to be fine. We said, we hope he's going to be fine. We're trying everything possible, but we never made promises. Secondly, we were not going to exclude them from being around him. And I think that a lot of older people, or us, even my generation, I'm only 42 years old now, a lot of us grew up with death being behind closed doors.
Uh-huh.
So it was something that happened, and you just heard about it, and it was mystifying and all that kind of stuff. Where as he started to go downhill, God loved the kids. They put filthy bands on him. I had him do dinners with Daddy as he was getting very ill. Even the youngest one, was putting silly bands on him the day that he passed away at 4 p.m. That morning, she was putting silly bands on him, and he was literally like comatose and blind. But I encouraged them to come in and hang out, and we watched cartoons, and Daddy was there, and he could still hear them, and I told them that. And so they kind of got used to it, and they were there when he passed. So it was, as tough as it was something that was beautiful, and they very quickly got to know the fact that the body changes. And I didn't want them to be afraid of seeing him in the casket. So they were there when as his body was moving, and they knew that he just wasn't there. We could all sense it. I mean, it was so clear that he went somewhere else, and his shell was there. And it was so, they were so much more mature than their ages at the viewing. They even took other kids up and said, look, his body's changed. He's not here anymore. And, you know, they were touching him, and they knew that his body had changed, and, you know, your body gets hard with all that. And,
wow.
You know, so they were just very mature for it. But they were exposed to it, and that's what I wanted them to realize, that it's not some mystery behind some closed door, because it helps with a lot of the closure. So to them, he's around us but invisible, and his shell is in the ground, and they're very much okay with that, even though it was difficult. It still can be difficult, of course, but, you know, they still get it that he's around us in a different way.
Right. Wow. So when do you plan on writing your next book? Is it in the making now?
I've started doing a little bit.
We're going to make you this writer, okay? You're going to be that writer that says, I'm not an author, but you are one.
I'm not a writer, but here's my book. That will be the next title, huh? Oh, God.
Exactly. You know, I'm not a writer, but I'm an author. That's what you name it.
But here's your book. You know what's so funny? Because I really, this has really changed me, like, so in so many ways, you know, because I never thought I'd be an author, I never thought I'd put a book out there, of course, and just along those lines, aside from all the tragedy and everything, as a writer or as somebody who's gone through some personal growth, it's something because, I've published a book, self-published a book, and other people have published a book since then, you know, because they'd ask me, yeah, hey, how'd you do that? And, you know, I kind of help them walk through the process, through the same sort of thing. And so they're going through the same thing. One of my friends who just recently published her book last week, and it was just an amazing process because it's such a healthy thing to put down emotion on a paper and to be able to share experiences. And You know, so I'll never claim to be like a decent writer or anything like that, you know. So, but yeah, the next book will be coming out soon, huh?
Yeah, why not?
So what? So if I may ask some questions back to both of you, or others who are listening, you know, so what have you experienced? Have you experienced something, you know, like witnessing something like that, or being around somebody who's passed, or something so powerful, and you know, so just to share the same sort of experiences with others?
I went through my sister's death. It was really hard for me. Actually, I was the last one she spoke with, and she just asked me if she could go.
Oh,
you know, she asked me if she could go. You know, and I looked at her, and it took everything in my power to say, if you're ready.
Yeah.
You know, it was a hard ordeal for me because I was very young when my mother passed. I was 18 when my father passed.
Oh.
And, yeah. Actually, I was 11 when my mother passed.
Oh.
And, you know, she had cancer, but it took her from going from West Virginia to New York to find this out. And once they, you know, found out it was too late, it had started spreading. You know, she had ovarian cancer. And it was, like I said, it was a very, very hard ordeal, you know, to really go through. And like I said, as far as with my sister, like I was the one that she put like overseer of being medical, like if it was time to pull the plug or whatever. And it was the hardest thing for me to say, you know, when she asked me, you know, if it was okay if she went on. And I looked at her and I said, if that's what you want to do, you go ahead. You know, it was nothing else I could say. And she just looked at me. She said, "Sissy, I'm just so sick and tired of being sick."
Oh.
And it broke my heart. It really broke my heart, you know. And after I said, you know, she could go, she smiled. And her eyes rolled back up in the back of her head. And I called the rest of the family. And that was the last thing she said. I was there when she took her last breath, everything.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was very, very hard.
You know, so you should relate to parts in the book because there's stuff that you never thought you'd have to say, never thought you would need to say to loved ones. And it's all those things like, yes, you can go, we're going to be okay, even though you're like...
Yeah. I mean, it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll tell anybody, if you've never experienced it, it's a hard thing, it's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Just to sit there and watch your loved one just be a vibrant person 1 minute, and then at the end of the rope, you know, they're gone. They're gone.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I commend you really, really, you know, that's like we spoke about losing a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't imagine. I really can't imagine what I would go through.
Right.
You know? So, you know, but that's the thing. We all got to take that road. We all got to go.
Yeah.
You know, death, we're not here forever. You know, and when it's our time, it's going to be our time. But to have to go from a sickness that quick, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I just can't imagine what I would have done if it was me.
Well, you know what? You know, I didn't imagine maybe... You face it head on, and you seem to be a person who'd be very, very loving and caring. And like with your sister, I mean, you told her the things that were was appropriate for the time, even though it was painful for you to say. And I know the same feeling. And you don't know how you get through it. And what what I fear, I mean, so at least, you know, like, you had the time to speak with her before she passed.
Yes.
I had the time to speak with my husband before he passed. I fear the phone calls in the middle of the night where someone...
Oh, my God. You. Oh, I hate for my phone to ring after 12.
Oh, that kind of stuff is just... And that's my... Okay, so now
it
I know...
It always takes you to another level.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you know, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know, you know, what that call is about. And it hurts. It really hurts, you know. And it's like, where do we go from here?
I know.
You know.
And that's, so, and I have people, one of my cousins, God love her, you know, 4 months before my husband passed from cancer, her husband left for the day to go to work, and he got electrocuted and never came back. And I just feel so bad, you know, for things like that. So it's given me also perspective on death in general. People, you know, there's different ways of passing. People feel different ways. I would much rather have the same sort of thing where you have all that time to talk with them and I have all those moments, and I feel so much for the people who have, like, accidents. And God, you know, God bless them, because seriously.
Yes. You know, and like I say, we don't know our time. We don't know when is our time. We really don't know when our time is here, you know. And you just got to be ready and steadfast and, you know, just... It takes a lot, but, you know, you just got to be willing to survive the route, you know, that you're going to have to go through. We all got to leave here, like I said. You know, but when, like, again... When it comes to a big sickness and you just get sick 1 month and then, like you said, in a couple of months you're gone.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't know what I would do, you know, and until you cross that road, you won't know what you'll do.
Well, and plus, either you're going to be, you know, so my first husband passed very young. All of
right.
us, you know, we'll live through many other people passing. Or
true.
And then maybe some of us are the very last one, and we don't even know anybody who's left alive, who's part of our family or friends that we had 20 years ago.
Exactly.
And we're the last one to go. So we don't know when we're going to go, but we know, you know, at least for me personally, like, I have affirmations about what's going to be there when I go. It's way reduced my fear of going to the next world. But it still doesn't change the fact that I don't want, you know, my kids or my, you know, my new husband, who I love very much. I found happiness again. But we don't know our path. You know,
no,
I
don't.
Cherish every day, every minute, every single thing. And, you know, but who, you know, of course we can't comprehend the purpose of all this. So we'll learn a lot more when we get to the next place. And, you know, then we'll have a lot of things told to us, and they'll answer a lot of questions.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, now that you have entered on the T show, I don't even know what to ask no more.
Listen, I'm gonna ask her to listen. We're gonna get together and we're gonna do us a book.
Hey, we're gonna start up our own radio show, huh?
Exactly.
Well, you know, you can stay on the line with us.
Okay.
But let me ask you, do you see writing as being a career?
Is this to me? To Kim?
Yeah. Do you see writing as being a career?
Why do you see writing as being a career? I don't know. I don't look at writing as being... I don't want to rely on it for money because it's not in the right place in my heart. I like to spread the word and help people, and I swear that I've had more people contact me, you know, through messaging on Facebook, through my book, Facebook site, saying, hey, can you help me do this? Or, oh, my gosh. I've had people message me saying, my husband passed away a year ago. I don't know what to do with my life, and I feel worthless, and things like that, where, you know, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm not an expert, you know, but I do want to help people. I give them examples of, you know, stay with it, it's okay, you'll find happiness again. So
I don't rely on it as an income. I do you know, books, like book signings, things like that, and I do want to, you know, possibly write a couple more books, like I mentioned. I'm thinking about other things, and honestly, a year ago, I had a full-time job up in, you know, Cambridge and Boston, where I'd get home at 7 p.m., and it was tucking in my heart that I don't want to be away from the kids as long, and, you know, so yes, my life has progressed, I'm happy again, I'm married again, things are wonderful, I have a wonderful husband, and he was getting the kids from school, feeding them dinner, and doing all that kind of stuff, but I'm like, oh my gosh, is this really what I want for them? And things have changed since then. And now I'm considering, you know, even opening up like a small business where the kids could come and hang out there after school. And I'm much more home oriented. So I've found like a new, what would you call it? Like a mosaic career, a collage career where there's several different things going on. I mean, I have several scientific degrees. I could always rely on those. But I don't feel like going to work in a lab all day. That's not what's important to your family and your life and to love and all that kind of stuff. So I want to be true to myself and true to my kids and my husband and find something that has a nice work-life balance. So that's probably the biggest lesson learned that's come out of this whole experience is that that's what's important. And I'm really trying to change everything that I do to kind of meet those needs. And the book is just a piece of it. So spreading the word about my experience is just something that is part of the puzzle that I'm still trying to figure out.
Okay, so let me ask you. If an up-and-coming author came to you, that's what you are, as considered you writing this novel, you're an up-and-coming artist. What advice could you possibly offer, for getting them to where you at?
So don't call me an author. I have a book out.
She don't want to be called that up.
Yeah, I know, right? She refuses to be called author, but that's what you are. You are an up-and-coming author. You are a writer.
I know.
You wrote a whole novel. So... if you had somebody that came up to you and say,
I
read your novel and I want to get to where you at, what advice could you give them?
It's not so funny to me. The biggest thing is just start working in, you know, Microsoft Word or whatever word processing program and just write and get it written however long it needs to be. Just get it written. And then... if you need help after that, I mean, so there's self-publishing, you know, programs. You can do CreateSpace like I did. You just need to know how to add, you know, chapters and that kind of stuff. But it's really about content. Get your content right. Put, you know, thought into how you break up your chapters and that kind of stuff and how you change, you know, your fonts and quotes and editing. Once you have that, the rest of it is just fine-tuning. But the biggest piece is about content and really, like, I can't say my content is perfect by any means, but that was the biggest hurdle. Like, once I went through that, and then it's a cycle. I probably did, like, 6 cycles of submitting it to, you know, get hard copies and do some, you know, real-time editing when it looked like a book and stuff like that. And it was much easier than I thought it would be. So nobody should be intimidated by writing a book about their experiences because it is, it's easy to do, but it's all about... you know, just writing it, sitting down and writing it.
Okay. We have another caller for you. We're going to bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Hello.
How are you? Hey,
how are you?
How's everything? Good. She stopped laughing. Well,
everybody.
I can't.
Everybody's a writer here. What questions do you have?
Look, I am not a writer, trust me.
Neither am I.
You sounded like Cam.
look, now I'm a reader. I'm not a writer. But I just want to just commend you on being able to actually sit down and write a book about your experience. You know, that has to be a hard task to do. So I just want to commend you to be able to, being able to sit down and write the book and being able to share it with the world.
Well, I really appreciate that, and honestly, that comes from my heart because I wrote. I think I've been told by people over the years that I'm a very transparent person. So me putting things into writing kind of came naturally, and going through something so traumatic, I wrote, and it was raw emotions and feelings and all of that, and that's what it ended up being. And to put it out there, yes, I put my heart out there. I mean, it's out there. There's talk, you know, about what his body went through. There's talk about my emotion or me waking up, you know, at 6 in the morning and putting a little splash of Baileys in my coffee, you know, because I just had to get through the day. Or, you know, staying up with the kids while they're, you know, having dinners with Daddy as he was comatose. And then after that, about, you know, finding happiness later and rebuilding my life. So I just wrote very raw, and it doesn't mean it's a prescriptive sort of book, you know, on how everybody should handle the situation. It's a memoir on one person's experience that may be helpful for others so that they know that they're not alone and how they deal with things. And it's also helped me to realize that no matter what people go through, you know, one, people may be dealing with something you don't even realize, and two, if somebody has passed away, it doesn't matter, like time and space almost don't matter afterwards. If they're ready to hang out or date or do things like that, you know, they're the ones that are going through it. They're the ones that have dealt with the empty seat at the dinner table or somebody who's not tucking in the kids at bedtime. And it's, you know, help them, support them, and be happy for them.
That's great. Yeah. Very inspirational. I just thank you. I thank you, and I can't wait to read the book. And then, you know, give you my feedback, and I hope that there's definitely a part two, you know, coming out that would be, you know, a reflection of, you know, the kids and how they feel and, you know, how they overcome the loss as well. So I just wanted to commend you on that.
Yeah, you know, and I am thinking about having the kids write something because they've helped others who have gone through, they've helped other kids who have gone through a parent passing on, and they have their own signs that they receive, and it's kind of a, you know, as difficult as it was, it's kind of a beautiful sort of thing that we're experiencing. And of course, we never imagined we would have, you know, our life end up like this. You know, but still, it's something that shows us that life still goes on, and also life doesn't end, and it just changes form. So the kids understand that too, and that they want to help others, and they may be their own little authors here in the next year or so.
That's
great.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us.
Welcome.
And you get busy on that book, Kim.
Well, Kimberly, what I want you to do, I want you to give everybody your information on your novel. Let them know where they could get it and, you know, buy the novel. Give them all your information.
All right. So, yes, Rich, I really appreciate that. So the book is called Life at the End of the Tunnel, and it's available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com as both paperback and Kindle versions. And it's also available through a lot of your local independent booksellers, even if they have to order it, because we always try to help out the independent bookstores. And I also have a website that is lifeatthendofthetunnel.net and a Facebook fan page that is Life at the End of the Tunnel. So please feel free to join, because on the Facebook page, I try to just put out some thoughts that may be you know, inspirational or some examples of things like this that, that may be helpful for people, or some really cool poems about, you know, dealing with similar situations. And I encourage people to share, too. So it's really meant to help others in similar situations and get through it. I'm no expert at all. I just am very transparent and trying to help others. So that's all out there, too. So, Rich, thank you so much. I really appreciate this time. And
I want to thank you because, you know, we're going to put you in a GQ College magazine with the novel and everything. And we're going to promote it as well.
So, Rich, do you have anything to add? You kind of escaped all the questions that we were asking.
Huh?
Do you have any answers to any of the questions? You kind of escaped all the questions that we were asking.
Who, me?
Yeah.
What questions was I asked?
We were talking in general. So if you have anything to add or if you have any comments about your own experiences, that'd be great to hear from you as well.
I'll tell you, my experience was with my grandmother. Because my grandmother, she was the one who I talked to. She was always there for me. I even have, like, medical conditions, everything about my grandmother. And she had passed away in the hospital. And the thing that bothered me about it was, when she passed away with her eyes open, like somebody had, to me, I say somebody had did something to her. You understand? And that's the way she had passed away. So even now, you know, I sit down and I think and I talk to my grandma because that was my partner, you understand? That's who I talk to. That's who, whenever something went wrong or I needed somebody to talk to, I talked to my grandmother. When I was younger, I used to cry when my mother and them took us over there to spend the night. So she would tell my mother, let him spend the night. You understand? You know, we had a scene. You know, remember me. I'm the one that loves you. So my main thing was, yeah, it was my grandmother. Hello?
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, it's beautiful.
Yeah, so I didn't escape anything. I thought you and T was just, you know, having a real good conversation there. So I was just, you know, laughing for a little bit.
No, you were supposed to chime in with us.
Oh, I was supposed to chime in.
But I am going to request to your friendship on Facebook.
Oh, absolutely. Please do.
Yeah. You know, because like I said, it's a blessing that, you know, you were able to do that, you know, and to go through it. You know, I'm sure it wasn't a walk in the park, you know, even doing the book.
Yeah. You know what? I don't claim credit for it. I really.
Right.
Yeah. But I hope it helps others.
Well,
yeah,
I'm sure it will. And as Lavina was just saying just a few minutes ago, I'm not a reader, but some of the authors that he's had on here, just listening to what they say and why they wrote the books, you know, it's inspired me to do, you know, and to read and to get into it more.
Yeah.
And that's my plans, you know. Because somewhere down the line, it's going to help me in the long run.
You know, it's something that's so true because, you know, there's so many stories that can be shared to help others. And this culture out there with all the electronics and the kids staring at their iPhones, iPods, everything like that, people are becoming less communicative. It's great to hear people want to share stories and talk. So I think it's awesome to share everything, and I welcome any discussion like this. But I think it's great to have you guys talking about this, and I welcome it at any time. So thank you very much.
No problem. No problem at all. And keep up the good work.
Wait, Kimberly, I have another caller for you that wants to say something to you, all right?
Okay.
All right. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. You know, Kimberly, I got to apologize. I don't know why they're laughing at me. You know, maybe they saw my picture on Facebook or something. But, you know, in any event, I do I do have a serious thing to say. I did have an out-of-body experience. This was back in roughly about 92, back in about 92. And I was actually laying on my bed, and I actually saw myself leave my body and was looking down on myself on the bed. At the time, I was with someone, and my spirit actually left the room, went to the bus stop where that person was getting off, and actually walked alongside that person back to the, at the time we were in the apartment, up the stairs. And then they got back to the bedroom where that other body experience happened. My spirit actually came back into the body. So I kind of related that to me making sure that the person I was with, for whatever reason, got home safe. Maybe something was scheduled to happen, and because that spirit was with her at that time, it didn't happen. You know, also back in 87, I did flatline on the operating table after motorcycle accident. I did flatline, and I actually did, was falling, and I was, while I was falling, there was a light that actually brought me back up. When I came to, I was actually saying Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The nurse did say to me, she said, you're the only one that ever came back out of a situation like that, was actually saying prayers, saying, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. So, you know, we have different experiences, and it makes a difference in our lives and what we do and what and how we carry ourselves. And it's just a matter of being able to put everything together and see what purpose we have in this life. And hopefully we can make a difference in other people's lives, you know, in a positive way, you know. And that's basically what I have to the show tonight.
Wow. Wow, seriously, that is awesome. Rich, I don't know how much we can go over, but that was an awesome story. Hey, I totally believe that can happen. So maybe you went out of your body to guide that person, and absolutely, you know, the holy cow, you came back from your experience in the hospital. That's amazing, and so God bless you. And we don't know why we have all these sort of things that happen to us, and we'll find out someday. But beautiful, beautiful affirmations of, you know, hey, we're here for some reason. You probably helped somebody to avoid something that may have been very traumatic. But thank you for sharing, because that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and it was all documented. This was actually at Jamaica Hospital and right on the Van Wyck Expressway over there. So it's all documented and everything else, you know, the whole experience and whatnot. You know, so it's just interesting how people talk about this white light. I actually experienced this light. I actually experienced being brought back from the depths of where I was falling. And had I not been saying Psalms 23, I don't know if that I would have been brought back, because it actually, that light reached down and brought me back, and it was like a whole figure. You couldn't see the face or anything, but it was just an outline of like a person, you know. So it was just interesting, and I always maintain that there's something more to this life other than what we see. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
Indeed.
So what else can you describe about seeing that light? I mean, because we don't get to talk to too many people who have that experience, so that's just gorgeous. So, like, what else did you see? What else did you feel?
Well, the other thing on top of that is I was actually, at the time, I was working at this place called Cooper Wiring, right off by the 59th Street Bridge, and I was seeing someone who was Jehovah's Witness. And not seeing them, but I mean, she was on the job with me. And the funny thing is, the Saturday that she invited me to go to her, to the worship, I actually, that night, I actually went into the scriptures and started going and writing out different parts of the scripture, different verses, you know, different headings. And the amazing thing is, while we were in the service, everything that I had on my paper was covered by the person that was preaching that day. Everything word for word, scripture for scripture was covered that I had my notes in.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. And I showed it to her. I showed it to her mother, and they looked at me, and I was looking at them. So everything that I wrote out was actually covered, and I even before we actually, you know, got to the place of worship. So
wow.
It was just interesting. Yeah, it was just
wow.
Interesting.
So see, you need to write a book. You need to write a book.
As far as that, let me tell you what happened. Let me just go one step further. While I was in high school, I was on the A train, and the guy I was standing on the train. The guy looked at my hand. He said, "You know, you're going to be a writer. You're going to be, you're going to have people of basically of authority coming for you for advice." And sure enough, that's what happened. You know. I try not to really dabble into that life because of the connotations that goes with it. But he just took my hand. He just started reading my, you know, reading my hand and saying certain things. But yeah, it's a lot that goes on in this world that we're not really, you know, in tune with. But I tell you what, once we are in tune with it, it's amazing. It's totally amazing.
Yes. That's awesome. That's an awesome story. Seriously, start writing it down. That's awesome. Very good.
That's it.
Wow. Well, you know, Kimberly, I really want to thank you for taking the time out to join us this evening. And you are welcome back anytime. It is never a problem.
Hey, Rich, you know, this has been awesome. I really appreciate it. The guests have been great. The discussions have been great. So I'm very thankful. And I'm thankful for, you know, the depth of the discussions has been very rich. And, you know, it's fed my soul, too. So it's been awesome. I'd be happy to come back anytime. So thank you to everybody. And I really appreciate it.
We want to thank you. And, you know, you're welcome anytime. It's never a problem.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Kimberly Silva, Dons and Divas. All right. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank the callers. I want to thank the guests. I want to thank all the listeners. But most of all, I want to thank the man above. Because without him, none of this would be possible. Don't forget, GQ Palace has 8 episodes a week with 12 different hosts. This Sunday, we have Novena for Life and Spiritual Sunday from 7 to 9. Opening in prayer, Minister Arthur Weatherby. Closing in prayer, Minister Cheryl Miller. Right after Spiritual Sunday, 7 to 9. 9 to 10, we have Crossroad Temple with Faith Walker. Well, he'll be interviewing up-and-coming gospel artists, hip-hop gospel artists as well. And don't forget, on Spiritual Sunday, 7 to 9, you can also call in and give your testimony as well. They'll be playing gospel music and quoting scriptures of the Bible. Monday, we just started a new episode, GQ Palace UAR, Unsigned Artist Radio, where we play nonstop music for some of the hottest up-and-coming artists and pioneers. That's on Monday, 8 to 9 p.m. On Tuesday, we have GPS, GQ Palace Sports with the Mayor, bringing you the bigger picture, how you say it, hard body karate. So if you say you know your sports, tune in on Tuesday to GQ Palace Radio, 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, we have the Diva Squad, Rachel T. and Angie from 7 to 9, bringing you their grown and sexy topics and playing the hottest old and new slow jams and R&B. Right after them, from 7 to 9 on Wednesdays, we have Fallout Comedy with comedian Rakim Chick Singer to Singleton, bringing you the funniest, hilarious jokes and comedy on radio live here on GQ Palace Radio. That's 9 to 10 on Wednesdays. On Thursdays,
we have Reality and Relationship with KL and Tiffany Belvin. They are real serious about what they do. They bring you the world news and what's going on in the world, and they discuss relationship values and bring you that truth of the matter feedback. That's from 8 to 10 on Thursdays. Then on Fridays, you're right back here with Rich Money on GQ Palace Love and Entertainment. Don't forget, it's going down tomorrow, the Infinity Lounge Trendsetters. James Orange, shout out to them. They doing big things. And GQ Palace and Nonstop Media is back in the building August 25th. Coco Chanel, Video City, Hot 97, Rough Riders. You're all going to be in the building August 25th. At Club of Law in Queens, 3302 Queens Boulevard. Once again, I am your host for the night, Rich Money. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
Y'all have a good night.
Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.